listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
All right, it's August 19, 2015. Welcome to the audio chat, streaming live at s3.fakeologist.com. Talking to you from the North Shore of Lake Ontario and the media capital of Canada, Toronto. Got Anne coming over. She's from California. She's a senior fakeologist. Let's see if she can remember to come over to the live stream. Got an email from an old fakeologist. I won't mention his name just in case he wanted to. I can't remember if he said it's okay to mention his name, but he's quite afraid that I better move Anne over. One moment. Yeah, welcome, Anne. Welcome to the audio chat, Anne.
I'm here.
Yeah, you have to, when I say move to the audio live stream, you gotta move yourself. I just moved you, but normally you gotta move yourself.
Oh, I thought I did.
No, I did. I moved you.
Well, I made a move. Maybe I made the wrong move.
Yeah. So, Anne, that past fakeologist who I haven't heard from in a while was mentioning that he thought you and O'Hallahan were COINTELPRO because of your black goo discussion. And I personally don't like the black goo discussion, and I certainly doubt it's even close to being true. But just so you know, people do get bothered when they start hearing some really crazy talk, and they would probably call that crazy talk.
I will apologize to everyone. I'm not COINTELPRO. I'm just a lady that's started researching 9/11, and I keep going down different, you know, finding new things that interest me. And I had just found that, and I knew that O'Hallahan was into it, liked it too. But I had no intention of causing problems for the forum, none at all. And I will stick completely with Fakeology in the future. So I really apologize if people were offended or people thought I was COINTELPRO, because that's absolutely not the case.
Yeah, that's very nice. I don't think you are either, personally. You sound pretty genuine. None of us can tell who's who in this very murky, spooky research that we do. It's sort of the nature of the beast. And we just have to hope everyone here has good intentions. But as long as we're aware that COINTELPRO exists, we just have to use our best thinking caps and just try and sort what's real from what's not real. Now, I don't really have any interest in black goo, and I doubt it has any sentience. I never really heard of it, but it can be discussed. But just be aware that when you're on the live stream, there are people listening that might get concerned that some of the very good work that we're trying to expose will be mucked up with the black goo. You can talk about it in private. I have no problem. I can't censor you anyway. But just when it goes over the live stream and goes out as a recording, it can somewhat gum up the works at Fakeologist. That's all.
Yeah, I forget that just because it doesn't show additional people in the chat, I forgot that they could listen on that other page.
Yeah, that's right. This is a kind of a unique situation or system that I've set up, so. Yeah, you are streaming live on an IceCast server, streaming out to the world, and people can, of course, listen anonymously. I don't know who's listening right now. Could be probably nobody, but it's the recordings that get all the listens to, the downloads, people download. Those are the people that are, that's where most of the interest is coming from, the download. Not too many people listen or do anything live anymore. That's all things of the past, Dan. Live audio, live television, it's pretty much dead for most things, news anyway.
Yeah, I know that I listened to live chat the other day because I didn't know how to get in.
Yeah.
And So, yeah, I was just one person listening to people, you know, discussing things. So, but I did listen back to the call.
How did it sound?
It sounded good. I have a unique voice, and I was afraid it would sound really silly over the recording, but I sounded okay, so I'm not embarrassed, except for the black goo talk, which we won't discuss anymore.
Yeah, I don't think your voice is very odd for someone of your age. It sounded fine to me. It just sounded like a normal voice. Nobody likes the sound of their own voice. Well, not too many people, anyway. I don't particularly enjoy mine. I like it better the one. I like my voice better when it rattles through my head. Once I hear it on the recording, I don't like it as much.
Yeah, same here. And my sister and I sound a lot alike. And I was at work, and there was something I needed to do, not to forget to do the next day. So I called my voicemail at work and left myself a message. And so the next morning, I was checking messages, and I'm listening. I'm going, what the hell is she talking about? I thought it was my sister. And then I went, oh, that's the message I left for myself. So I didn't even recognize my voice when I listened back to it. It was funny.
That is kind of funny. I really don't have any great research to expose to the world today. I enjoy Russian Vid. I enjoy that guy's clear thinking on YouTube. He did a pretty good summary of the Challenger explosion, showing the footage that they portrayed as real of the parents of Krista McAuliffe, who are apparently not so broken up. But I think that footage could have been recorded at different times and then portrayed as being live at the space launches. But I don't think, I think something is launched into space when they say it's launched into space. But I don't always think there's a crowd that's filmed there. I think all that stuff could be cut and paste at any time and put together as real. Just because it has the word live on the television doesn't mean it's live.
Yeah, that's something I would have never thought about in years past.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
we sit there and watch that disaster, and the whole world mourned the loss of those astronauts. I mean, it was such a monstrosity of a hoax to pull on people. I mean, I'm really glad that they're alive, but I hope they enjoyed the money they got for playing the part.
We need people to start calling these real people and confronting them with this information and just ask, hey, I saw on YouTube that you're still alive. Can you please speak to that, please? Anyone who wants to do that, I'll put it on my website.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking that very thing the other day. That's something I would do.
Well, figure out how to record your conversation and just say, hey, I see that someone is saying that you're alive and you look just like the person that we're told died on that day. Can you please clear this up? They might just hang up the phone. They might say you're nuts, you're delusional. But I like to still hear it.
I agree. I'll check into that after we get through today.
Yeah, you just say you're an honest, God-fearing American citizen who is pretty upset, and there's people saying that NASA lies each and every day, so it would be easy for me to infer that they were lying back in 1986. Is it possible they were just making up a big joke just to stir up attention and interest and drama, more importantly? And are you really alive? And if this isn't you, don't you find it disturbing that you look exactly like an aged version of this astronaut, and your name is the same, and the ages all line up perfectly? Isn't that disturbing to you, that all of these similarities exist? And do you get other people calling you and saying that, hey, I thought you died? They're all legitimate questions.
Absolutely. That's a really good idea. And
you could just pretend that you're a regular person, or you stumbled upon a YouTube. You don't have to explain that you're a seasoned psychologist. You can say, hey, it's a regular person picking up the phone, and your number is publicly listed, so I thought I'd give you a ringy-ding-ding.
Yeah, I am just a regular person. So just because I research doesn't mean that, you know, I could have accidentally found out through YouTube and news articles. It really pisses me off they've got an exhibit that they're carting around. I mean, it was in Canada. You know, it's an exhibit to, I guess they need some more money. I don't know.
They don't need more money. They just need to continue stealing imaginations from young people. That's what it's about. It's not about the money. They don't need the money. They make the money. They can give themselves as much or as little money as they want. That's not, all they're trying to do is steal imaginations and sell their ideas about what space really is or really is not. That's it. People have to get off this money thing. It's a distraction.
Yeah, I would love to be able to talk to my grandchildren. I have a granddaughter that started her senior year in high school, and she's very intelligent. She's taking, you know, advanced placement courses, and I don't know if my daughter would let me do that because my daughter's listened to some of this stuff and she agrees with some of it, but it's just not something that she has time to dwell into.
Well, in the old days, we used to look to senior people as resources for educating. So why you could sell yourself from that basis.
Well, I made the mistake. I was over there, it's my granddaughter's birthday, and I was over there for dinner. And
who just joined in?
Who's there? I don't see you. I don't see anybody else there.
Errol C. Errol C. from Toronto. Welcome. Errol C., welcome. Maybe he's just listening.
Oh, it says he's coming from the lobby.
Yeah, well, he's in the live stream now, Errol C. Yeah, okay. So keep talking.
Well, I made the mistake of bringing up the Holocaust and that it was not what we have been led to believe all of these years. And my daughter-in-law was extremely angry with me for saying such a thing. And she hit it well, but I talked to my daughter later, and she said, I know someone. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is just what my research has shown me, that did not happen the way they said it did. There were not 6 million people gassed during the Holocaust, what they call the Holocaust. And I was talking to my daughter about it later, and she said, you have to be careful. You can't just say something like that to anybody. And I said, I was talking to family. You know, I'm sorry if she was upset, but I said, the truth doesn't mind investigation. And I told her, I said, do you know that people in a lot of European countries, if they deny the Holocaust, they're thrown in jail. From what I've read, people are in jail for saying that they didn't believe in the Holocaust.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that story as well. I'm not sure about that. There's some publicly outed people that were promoted as that. I'd like to, I can't verify it, though. I get just the story is enough to scare enough people, though. One of those issues, again, you just have to say it happened, and it'll make most people self-censor.
On that documentary, if you go to the website, hellstorm.com, that's a fabulous documentary about what really happened.
Don't forget, that's their version of events. Let's be careful not to say that's what really happened, because they weren't there either. Let's just say it's an alternate view, and we have to try and reconcile in our own minds what we think could have happened. Let's not pass one research off as truth just because it doesn't agree.
That's true. With
the consensus.
And they have a lot of video, but, you know, like you say, but this was, before TV and before there was a lot of filming of things, but...
Well, there was very controlled filming of things before by the military. There's very scant footage that's been portrayed in a certain way. Now, there were bodies piling up. People died. I think we're not even really arguing about the general idea that Jews and all kinds of other perceived undesirables were herded and sent to camps and then died somehow. We're actually really only arguing. Hellstrom's really only arguing that Hitler did not create a program to purposefully gas and incinerate just Jewish people in large numbers. That's really one of the biggest disputes that these alternate revisionists have, and they show evidence, what they say is evidence, rather, of how it could not have been done in such large numbers. Now, that doesn't mean that people didn't get herded there because of their being identified as Jews and die there. That's not what it means. And it's a very fine distinction. So all we're saying is there was no all they're saying, rather, not even myself, I don't know. They're just saying there was no wholesale plan to exterminate Jews in concentration camps. That's really, it's a fine line, because most people say, well, who really cares? They still went there and they still died. And I think the numbers are disputable, but does it really matter? It was 600,000 or 6 million? A lot of people will say, no, it does not.
Well, they say that because of so many people had, what was it, typhoid or?
Well, typhus, which was is a bug that carries a disease fatal to humans, and they use it carried in hair and clothing, and they use Zyklon B to gas it. Kill the bug.
Yeah, that's what I was told. And apparently the Jews were causing Germany problems. They were, according to the video, Hitler's intention, he wanted to send them out of the country.
Well, it wasn't even Hitler's plan. It was a British plan, the Balfour Declaration. There's a lot of machinations in Europe to get rid of the Jews. And it was a division they were trying to purposely create in the worldwide media. They were trying to create this divide of people. And German Jews didn't want to live. They had businesses there. They didn't want to go to some desert. None of them wanted to leave. They didn't even identify themselves necessarily as Jews. They identified themselves as Germans. So when the worldwide media created a big event to divide Jews from the rest of the world, all of a sudden, all the propaganda worldwide was turned against them, and Hitler, it was almost like Hitler was, his hand was forced to go along with the plan. It was more, I think it was just more than a big German plan. Because Jews could not come to North America either. They weren't wanted. It's not like North America is welcoming them. They were not allowed.
Yeah, I recall hearing that.
Sure. So nobody over here is looking too good in this either.
Well, and watching the video, I know from what, and it was Churchill's voice. I mean, they wanted to wipe Germany off the map.
They did.
They redrew the lines, and Germany lost a lot of land after that.
Well, yeah, it was a big redrawing of the borders, They're still an occupied country. How many U.S. troops are in Germany now, do you know?
I don't know, but they say it's... I mean, I don't know. I think we probably
look
control Germany.
Just look it up. Find out on Wikipedia. Take that with a grain of salt. But I think it's more than 50,000 American troops occupied Germany. Why? What is the purpose in 2015? Are they a threat? They make the best cars. That's a threat.
Okay, I'm looking it up. Let me see if I can find a number. Well, it says as of 2011, there's over 53,000 troops are stationed in Germany.
Hey, does the average American know that? And if they did, wouldn't you ask the question, why in 2015? Isn't that a good question?
Yes, it is.
don't have a chance to ask the question because the agenda is controlled by nonsense all day long. Someone should go up and ask their senator. You should ask your senator, why do we have so many people occupying Germany? What is the cost of that? What is the annual cost to have 53,000 troops every year in Germany? How many billions would that cost? And what are they doing?
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up now. Okay, I'm on Forbes, and this is an opinion. Let me read through it and see what it says. Well, supposedly, after the war, they were left there for the Cold War. But let me see if I can find out why they're there now.
Yeah, I think you know some of the research that we like to promote about the Cold War. Now, that was just another farce to keep the military-industrial machine going full blast.
Yeah. What was it called? Gladio.
Well, Operation Gladio is just to keep the public worried about local terrorism in Italy, I think.
Speaking of that, if knowing what we know about 9/11, I really, really admired Sybil Edmonds. And I have to assume now that her story is a lie.
Yeah, I can't remember. She's a Boiling Frog website person, right?
Yes, but she, you know, she wrote, I read her book, A Classified Woman, and she did research and found a lot of information that said that, you know, we were forewarned about 9/11 and should have been able to stop it. And she also worked with the, I think they were the Jersey Moms, or it's three women from New Jersey that lost their husbands in the towers.
Yeah. One of those moms?
I'm sorry?
One of the Jersey Moms, is that what you're saying?
She worked with the Jersey Moms.
Oh, okay.
So the Jersey,
she's part of the hoax.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking now, and that's really upsetting because I really, really admired her, and she had such good information about, you know, Gladio II and what's going on over there with all of the...
Well, they have to have good information to hook in.
Let's talk about Flat Earth, because I still haven't watched any videos. What is your take on that? And what exactly does it mean for us?
Well, I like to call it, like John LeBon likes to call it, ball earth skepticism. And I'm just making some logical steps where I think 9/11 was a hoax, and there's so much evidence on a daily basis that NASA puts out nothing but hoax material on an ongoing basis every day. NASA's way bigger than 9/11, if you think about it. It's been going since 1958, full blast. Every single day they put a new piece of nonsense out. Whereas 9/11 just happened, and then they used hoax management just to put very small updates in the news every day. Very small. But NASA is just constantly blowing my mind with their crazy information and pictures. And because they promote the ball Earth, they promote the blue marble, which is the most iconic photograph or image, I should say, ever promoted in the history of imagery, then I'm just taking that skepticism a step further and saying if they're lying about the nature of the Earth, what exactly could the true nature be? Well, it could be, just as they say. That's an option. But it could also be a lot of other things that make it non-ball. They even admit that it's some kind of pear shape now. But for a long time, Flat Earth was an accepted theory of the shape of the Earth, and it just disappeared about 100 years ago. There was always people arguing about it because nobody could get up high enough to see the totality of the planet or wherever we're living. Until NASA went up and just said, hey, we got a picture, finally, here it is, after all these years. No more arguing. Done. We figured it out.
Yeah, I never considered that NASA was promoting ball Earth. I mean, that's what we grew up learning. And I didn't know that there was any conflict about it until recently. So,
well, the Flat Earth Society and the Flat Earth thinkers were out there and they lost. They lost the argument. It's just like when it comes to health. There was an argument about the increase in heart disease in the 70s, and one guy argued it was fat, animal fat, and another argued it was sugar. I think we know who won. Now you don't even know or hear about the sugar guy, but that's just like videotapes. We had VHS and we had beta. And nobody today knows about videotapes at all, but for a long time no one knew about Betamax. Just know about VHS. You can see how when one idea wins out, the other idea is almost blanked from history. Gone. Ever. Unless somebody opens up a book, if they can find one, and then it's just a footnote. Nobody can recreate the real... Yeah, who's calling?
It's Errol C.
Hi, Errol
C. Is my voice still echoing?
No. Good.
Oh, she dropped off.
Scared her away.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Oh, she's back in the lobby.
She'll be back.
I got a bad echo on my headset. Did I fix my echo? Because the previous recording I was on was... Everybody was echoing except me. Yeah. I just wanted to test. I didn't want to interrupt your talk with her. She can come back and talk.
Oh, she will. I'm just joking. I got a bad connection. She couldn't even... She's joking.
You know what? I'm going to listen to the Baller Skeptic, the new one. It's like 4.5 hours. Because I want to get into the Earth stuff now.
Oh, you have been into it and now you're getting into it?
Well, when I was younger, I had a telescope and I used to look at the Moon and Jupiter and Saturn and Mars and Venus. You can see them from the Earth with a telescope quite well. So yeah. I've been into that stuff.
What exactly can
as an
you
amateur.
See? What exactly
you can
do you
see what Galileo saw. Okay.
Are they spheres?
You can see they're round. They're circular.
Round.
Jupiter is incredible because you can see the four inner moons. They say Jupiter has about 17 or 18 moons. And you can see four little dots around the Jupiter ball. And you can just barely see the little red dot, which they call a huge storm on Jupiter's surface. They call it a gas giant.
And I've been told that because of the nature of the lenses in the telescope, it creates a spherical impression on our eyeballs. Is that true?
I haven't looked at one in years, so I can't say for sure. But because you're given the impression...
Yeah, that's
you're
a function
told
of
it's
the
a sphere,
telescope.
Yeah. But you're told it's a sphere, so you don't even question it.
Okay, so you're looking for a sphere, and if you see something like a sphere, it's just confirmation bias.
Yeah, it's confirmation bias. I never questioned it when I looked at it. This is in the early 80s, I guess.
But you can't tell if it's three-dimensional, really.
But no, you have to have a super... You've got to have the Vatican telescope to get a good picture of it. I just had a cheap one. But even with a cheap one, you could see Jupiter, you could see Venus, Mars, Saturn. I saw Saturn. I saw the rings of Saturn because it looks like an oval, right? Because that bulges out. And the moon is quite spectacular because it's so close.
It doesn't revolve. I recommend listening to all the Baller Skeptics. They're all good. They don't really answer anything. But they question everything, and they're worth listening to the different voices. I thought John did a good job with that.
I accidentally disconnected a while ago. Am I back on? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Say hi to Errol C.
Hi, it's nice to
meet
you.
Hi, Ann. Did I talk to you before about art?
No, yesterday was the first day I was on.
Okay, I talked to somebody else. Sounded like you. Nice to meet you. Welcome
nice to
the
you.
Audio chat.
Thank you. I was so happy when we finished talking yesterday. I just, you know, I don't have anybody to talk to and bounce ideas off of, and it's just really nice to be able to talk about this stuff to people that are in agreement and aren't afraid to say that 9/11 was an inside job and
not,
blah, blah, blah.
They're not in agreement.
We're all in agreement. We agree 100% on everything, right?
Yeah.
Well, you at least agree to discuss it and bounce ideas around.
Yeah, we agree to discuss, and sometimes we agree to disagree. But as long as we can still talk to each other, that's, I think, the purpose of this site that Ab created.
Yeah.
To bounce the earth ball around to get the ideas.
Yeah, I was really impressed when I signed on to be a member of all of the vetting that Ab does. I thought that was really good.
I don't do much vetting.
I thought you meant
well,
vetting.
Well, it was more than, you know, you ask questions and then I had to, you wanted a little synopsis of who I was and what I believed and that kind of stuff.
Yes. That just keeps the computer bots away. There's a lot of automatic registrations. I don't know how they get through all the sections, but most of them can't pass the write an email to me.
Yeah, well, I guess some people cause a bit of a ruckus, so I guess Ab wanted to curtail some of that.
Oh, absolutely, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, there's a pretty good gang of people here, so I'm sure you'll enjoy hanging around the audio chats or just the website or the Chat Tango chat.
Yeah, good chat here.
I've been, yeah, I mean, it's a lot to take in, you know. Sometimes you take a break. I took a break for quite a while earlier this year. I just sort of...
Did you?
Oh, yeah, earlier this year, I think from just after Christmas until March. Or no, until about... Like, I didn't do any audios or anything. I just checked the site, but I didn't really chat about it. Because I think I just sometimes you're doing other things. I was busy working, too, so...
Yeah.
But it's always great to...
You got to take a break from things.
It was information overload for me, too, I think. Because there were so many things to look into.
So
sometimes you just got to take a break.
I learned so many new things this past week or so that I was on overload, and I thought, I have to talk to somebody. So this has been a really good outlet. But I discovered JFK most likely was not assassinated, and it was all a psyop. And then the Challenger disaster, that one really angered me.
Yeah, I should.
I'm still not sure about JFK.
No.
I'm not sure what I believe anymore about it.
Well, I've done so much research on that and listened to all these ideas. I watched the documentary that the UK did and just so much. And when I heard that we were watching a movie, most likely, and that Miles Mathis thinks that he just kind of went and became the shadow government because the Kennedys are so high up in the food chain of the elite, and that he just continued ruling from somewhere else. But I read Blue Moon's book, and he just thinks he knew he was in a lot of danger and just decided to step out.
Well, that's what we're told, I guess. Because there's so many books on JFK, it's just, it would take you your entire life to cover it completely, and then there's so many theories that I finally just put my hands up and said, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't really affect me personally, so I think now I'm trying to focus on things that I can actually investigate myself, even if it's in a limited capacity. Like, I can actually look in the sky and see Jupiter and the moon and the sun, but I can't go back in time to Dealey Plaza. I can't go back to New York City on 9/11. So I'm maybe shifting a bit of my research personally.
Well, I really think my quest, I was alive. I was in seventh grade when JFK was assassinated, you know, when the event happened. And it was a profound effect on the whole nation. I mean, what a fraud. I mean, my dad, he was like, what are they, you know, he was just like, what are they going to stop beating the drums? And it was just like, 3-4 days, and we've just totally saturated the television.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but I wasn't alive yet. But it's to me, it's like, I guess 9/11 for my generation.
Yeah, so when, you know, 9/11 happened, and it really changed. Everybody was just, those first few weeks after it, I mean, people were just really in a different state of mind. And, you know, things lightened up as time went by. I can remember, you know, seeing it all happen and having some thoughts about things not looking right. But, you know, I just went along with the party line. And then when I discovered, you know, watched Loose Change, and that's when I went, okay, I've got to see what's going on here. That's when I started researching.
Yeah, I started with, I think in the 1980s, I heard some conspiracy stories, and then I watched the film JFK in 1992, I guess, and I was just blown away by that film. I found it so fascinating. But of course, that's just another rabbit hole that brings, like, it's just one particular slant on it. But I knew it then too, but you just believe what you can at the moment. You can't, there was no internet then, so there were just books that I would pick up books and go through them about JFK. So, I definitely, was affected by the JFK movie and all the conspiracies, and was so suspicious of, governments even more so after seeing that film.
Yeah, that was a really good movie. And, you know, it's just more information to muddy the waters.
Yep.
I found the movie like Chinese food, and that is I ate it, I consumed it, and I was still hungry after. It did nothing for me. I just thought, I'm looking for answers, and I'm more confused than I was before.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. It just gave you more things to ponder and try to figure out. It didn't answer any questions. It just created new ones.
Yep.
My biggest question was how could the government allow this film to be made?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I think the CIA probably helped it be made. They wanted.
Of course.
It's the same with. Same with Coast to Coast. I used to listen to Coast quite a bit, and then I thought, well, if this is supposed to be top secret, how come they're letting it out? Oh, because it's 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody's listening.
Yeah, that makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I buy into a lot of the fear porn that is going on with the Jade Helm and martial law and the collapse of the economy, and I live in fear of all of that stuff.
I believe economies can collapse. Markets can collapse. They had the big collapse in 2008 and 2009. But, of course, this is controlled. It's absolutely controlled. Engineered, yeah. And now they're saying there could be another one coming soon.
There could always be another one coming. There's always a train coming down the tracks, always.
But it seems to follow a pattern of about every 10, 12 years.
Yeah, it's a reset, you know? I guess. Just like a computer, yeah. You got to keep resetting the damn thing, otherwise it clogs up.
Well, yeah, we see like, what happened in Greece, and, you know.
I can't even understand that. I read it, and I was like, it doesn't make sense to me. How can a country go bankrupt? It has so many natural resources.
Go bankrupt because they incorporate. They incorporate.
Yeah.
Incorporate so they can borrow money. But why do they need to borrow money? Why can't you just raise enough taxes and only spend what you take in? There's no need to borrow money.
Yeah. It's like you got to be part of our United Nations club in order to get all the benefits of the United Nations.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Don't you wonder why? We live in Ontario, pretty rich province. There's lots of people want to come here. We bring in lots of immigrants because they keep the ball rolling. And I get in lots of arguments with John LeBron, et cetera, about the benefits of immigrants. But I've I keep repeating that without them, all the bad jobs would not get done. Yeah, there are a lot of white people that will not do bad jobs. Don't think they have to.
And well, for me, it's an effect of our low birth rate. The white people's low birth rate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then they make choices. Women have a choice
and Lucien, now. Lucienne Bouchard got in trouble for saying that about 20 years ago.
Yeah, by the women, because women don't think that they're baby machines. Which they're not. They're people, and they should be able to control something.
It's very
fertility.
Simple. Any country or society that has prosperity seem to have less children. Yeah, because they want to enjoy the wealth. They don't feel like they're part of a procreation mandate that they have to keep the species going. Like they want to have careers. Women want to have – they go to university. They want to have careers. And they wait till they're in their 30s before they even have one child. So the birth rate is low in our Caucasian – because it seems like the Americans, the British, and the Europeans seem to be the most prosperous. But now you've got the BRICS nations, the Russia, China, India, Brazil apparently are getting together to combat the domination of the
American economies.
Well, my
point is, if we have such a great system – in Ontario, where we live, that the people want to come here, we do quite well, we're pretty smart. Why do we have to keep borrowing money? It makes no sense.
It doesn't
make
sense.
Why do we want it?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Because, yeah, we apparently have all this wealth, natural resources, and yet we're in debt to all these countries.
Why can't we just say all together now in one shot, let's wipe out the debt, let's stop borrowing more than we're spending, and then we'll have a lot. We won't be paying this huge interest bill that goes up and up every year because you get farther and farther behind.
That's called the Jubilee year.
Yeah, so why can't we? That's why you go bankrupt, is when you can't pay the interest. That's when you have to break it all, blow it all up. And anyway, the Greeks seem to stand up to it. Again, why
Iceland.
Are they going into debt?
Iceland did it too.
Yeah. Ontario should too. So should Canada. Just not both keep going into debt.
Yeah, we shouldn't have. The Federal Reserve is destroyed this economy. The Senate, some say the Senate, some say Treasury. You know, we should be printing the money, not having the Federal Reserve print money and we use it and pay interest on it. And it's just all of these elite bankers just get richer and richer and have more and more power.
Well, people that control the bank, the richest people control the bank. They own the bank. They own the big corporations. They own it all. And it's just they just have all kinds of front men take the fall, take the blame. All the usual suspects are put in place to receive blame. That's how it works. It's always worked that way. It's always going to work that way as long as people don't see methodology used for deception. That's what we try and talk about here. Methodologies of deception.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve Charter ended, you know, at the end of, was it the end of 2013? Anyway, it was renewed. It's like, why didn't they, you know, they need to burn the building down and just ban it, and they didn't do it.
Because they would just set up another system with another name. They know people don't pay attention or don't care. It really is that's a red herring for me.
Yeah, I didn't know anything
whatever
about
happened.
Any of that.
Whatever happened to the fiscal cliff?
Well, they just keep bringing up different terms of fear porn for the financial as well. It's the same for all their systems. Their military system, for their financial system, the food system, the drug system. They're all systems.
Now I'm looking at a headline here. It says, who wins in a currency devaluation war? Introducing a new money scheme to camouflage the enormous mountain of debt is the true strategy of any fabricated skirmish over currency convertibility and rates.
all too confusing for the average person to digest.
Yeah, when it comes to finance, I just have to shut down. I don't know that much about it. But this is on breakingallthe rules.org. Have you gone to that website before?
No. Doubt I ever will.
What I see happening a lot is the, if we're on a globe, the global economy is affecting most countries. I can compete with somebody on the other side of the world. If I'm doing work, let's say I'm doing work on a computer at home, I could be outbid by a person in India.
Yeah, as long as he can communicate, you're screwed.
Yeah, the internet puts the whole population on a level playing field, right?
Yeah, well, so it does when it comes to anything you can do behind your computer. The guy in India can't cut your lawn.
No, but this is funny. I called, I think it was Bell Telephone once, and I was trying to tell them that the guy who's supposed to fix the panel on the side of my house has to watch out for a snowdrift in his way, and the person had never seen snow before because they were in Bangladesh or whatever. They couldn't understand what I was trying to tell
them. Whenever I ever called Bell, I would always say, "How's the weather in Manila today?" They were always shocked that I asked that. They always answered, "Oh, it's 40, hotter than Hades."
Yeah. Yeah, it gets pretty hot there.
I always ask where the person is when I call these call centers. Where are you anyway? They don't always want to answer. I won't let up either. I'll just say, no, I want to know where you are.
Yeah, a lot of them are in the Philippines, actually. Because their English
is
pretty good.
Very good. Yeah, they speak great English.
Yeah.
Well, half of them are half American anyway, because all those sailors went over and didn't come leave without leaving a mark.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Well, they left after the volcano.
Well, they all left when they closed the naval base. Well, I don't know if they all left, but they closed the naval base, right, in Manila?
It's north of Manila. It's called Subic Bay or Clark Air Base. It's very close to Mount Pinatubo. And after the explosion, they all of a sudden got out of there. But I talked to some of my Filipino friends, and they are like, oh, yeah, anytime they can come back, you know, if there's an emergency, the U.S. are back right away. And I'm sure they have always have some standby stuff over there.
But officially the base is closed, and that costs a lot for the economy, I think.
Yeah, the majority of it is closed down, but it can be reset anytime because they use it as a domestic air base now. Airport.
Yeah. I wonder if I have any undisclosed relatives in the Philippines, because my grandfather went over there as a sailor.
Oh, you never know.
I wonder. We have a couple straggling branches of the family tree over there.
Was he Air Force or Navy or what?
Just in the Navy. He even met Marcos.
I've seen the body of Marcos.
Well, he met
they
him.
Or... Yeah, he met him while he was alive. I met him when he was dead.
Yeah.
They have him in a glass. They have him in a glass sarcophagus, just like do with Lenin.
Yeah, how ghoulish that.
Yeah.
That's
but it
really
looked like it was wax. Looked like a wax figure. It didn't look real.
Yeah. Well, how would you know?
Yeah. But he met Marcos, eh?
Yeah. I think they.
Because he was.
Well, he was part of. He was in the Battle of Leyte Gulf. I asked you about that before. I remember I asked you to know where Leyte Gulf is, L-E-Y-T-E.
Yeah, I know where that is. I haven't been there, though, but I know where it is.
Yeah, he was in the Battle of Leyte Gulf, and allegedly the Japs sunk his ship, and could have been an American boat, you don't know, in their own boat. They were told the Japs sunk his ship, and he was in the water for 2 days and two nights. Just a long time in salt water. Although it's warm water, but it's still salty. It's no good for you.
I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's where MacArthur landed again. There's a memorial there that's got some gold statues, and it's a statue of MacArthur and some of the other guys recreating the spot where they walked back onto the shores in Leyte Gulf. That's where... Madame Marcos is from there. Imelda Marcos comes from Leyte. Ferdinand Marcos comes from Ilocos Norte. It's a northern province of the Philippines.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that a lot of Filipinos don't even understand each other because their languages are so different in some places.
Yeah, the dialects, yeah. I guess that's a good thing about English. I don't know, English is a universal language, and for the most part we can understand it if we're taught it.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's, you know, with the spread of the British about 200 years ago in Australia, New Zealand, etc., this is the Illuminati's plan to make English the world language. It seems to be the world computer language, too. Probably
well,
next to Chinese.
Easier. Well, it doesn't have to be anyone's plan. It just makes business more efficient. We are in a money system, so anything that makes business work more smoothly is easier. Like,
yeah,
make a car in Mexico, and they can sell it anywhere. They don't have to even... They put all the dials. They put all universal symbols. I just bought a toaster, and there's no words on it anymore. And I could not figure out how to toast it because I didn't know what the symbols were. Do you know what the symbols are for dark toast and light toast? I never saw them before, but now it's all symbolism.
Well, yeah, I heard, for instance, Starbucks is planning to take the type off the logo. It's just going to be the image.
Well, that's because of symbols are universal. Even I was in a building that was recently done, and the word "the exit sign" is gone. Now they have a sign, a green sign, of someone running out of a building. The word "exit" is gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's. Let's face it, where we live, there's a lot of immigration, and there's a lot of people that English is not their first language, and
yeah, but they can understand the word "exit."
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, maybe they're just trying to streamline all the international symbols to be without any type.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's just more efficient if you have one sign for exit around the world. Everyone knows what it is. You don't have to make 200 different signs with different languages. It's just about business efficiency. That's my easy to understand. It makes sense, right? So, for me, anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'll tell you, figuring out how to toast your toast, their symbolism is not universal. Plus, the symbols are too small for the average middle-aged or aging person. You can't even tell which one's toast and which one's a half toast and all that. So, anyway,
I found the same with photocopiers when you're trying to set darkest to lightest.
Yeah.
And some photocopiers have this. It's like a blank square.
Yeah.
And then another one is full white.
Square. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you think the one full white is the white one, but it's actually the black one because it's filled in. Right?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's actually the opposite, yeah. So, they used to throw me. So, anyway.
Have you ever...
Go ahead.
Have you ever swam in Lake Ontario?
You know what? I haven't swam there in so many years because remember they used to tell us that it was polluted, the E. coli? I haven't
time,
swam in there in over 15 years. I always go up north.
I know. I just swam in it last week. I went east of Toronto. And I'm just doing a tour of Ontario, just trying to learn where I live. And I'm trying to swim in every lake. And I just swam in Lake Ontario. I haven't done that in forever. I found quite a few beaches east of Toronto. And they're not nearly as busy. People always in Toronto tend to go north. But you can swim. Lake Ontario's pretty cold, probably about 68. But you can swim, and you shouldn't just stand in it because it's too cold just to stand around. But if you actually swim, it's very pleasant if the sun is out. So I thought I'd bring that up to you because it's pretty hot right now, over 30, and it's a great time. This is your best chance to go swimming. So I highly recommend.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't go swimming today.
On the weekend.
Yeah. Have you been in Georgian Bay or Lake Simcoe?
Not this year, no. That would be pretty warm now because they're pretty shallow. Well, Lake Simcoe's shallow.
Oh, I was in Georgian Bay last Saturday and the water level was high. And it was a bit cool.
Yeah. Well, cool is a relative term. I was in Lake Huron.
Well,
it was 23. I think they said it was 23. It felt about 23. Pretty good.
Yeah. I haven't
Next
been in Lake Huron
is,
in a long time.
Lake Dreary.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever swam in Lake Erie. I've never been in Lake
shallowest,
Erie.
Shallowest, and therefore it's the warmest as well for the south. So I'm going to check that one out next. That's next on the list of lake tours. Great time to be alive, of course. We're not ecologists. We're more free of worry. And I wouldn't worry too much about coli and all these other threats, because the lakes are, for what I can tell, pretty clean. And probably just more people not dumping chemicals in and their cars in them and that kind of thing, that kind of awareness. Why people have been told not to drive their car in the lakes is beyond me, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of... are you just sticking around the southern Ontario area? You're not going to go north?
No, I already went to Lake Superior. And I found out it never gets above 4 or 5 too far north. And it actually... I don't think it ever freezes over because it's just too big, but it got pretty close this year. So
I touched it,
but I am not jumping in that one. That one's not a jumper-inner. You jump in and you jump out.
Yeah, like the Polar Bear Club.
Yeah, even at this time. I saw that's a magnificent lake. Magnificent.
Yeah, that's a nice – I've only been by there once. I usually stick to the local lakes. I like Lake Simcoe, Georgian Bay. Rice Lake, you know, in general, GTA kind of stuff, Lake Scugog.
But when I drove around Ontario, you really learn how vast this province is. When people tell you we're crowded and overpopulated, there's just so much land that I don't think humans have even walked around up there. Vast.
Oh,
really
for sure.
Vast.
I mean, it's absolutely true. I mean, even going back to the Philippines, I was in the Philippines once, and there's a lot of land there that nobody's living in. And apparently they have 100 million people there now.
Hmm.
But yeah, Ontario is massive. We've got lots of land on this earth. If you're talking about farmland and habitable land, it could be lacking that. But as far as area, square kilometers.
Yeah. For Americans, I think Ontario is bigger than Texas. There's a website that compares any state or country, and I can't remember what it's called, but I'm pretty sure Ontario can easily fit in Texas.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think Ontario is bigger than California, too.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Alaska is probably bigger than Ontario.
Yeah, Alaska is the biggest state, I think. Yeah, they would be pretty similar.
Where are you from, Errol?
I'm from Toronto, Ontario.
He's a neighbor.
Where are you?
Another Canadian.
Yes, another Canuck. Where are you from?
I live currently in Sacramento, California, but I was born and raised in Texas.
Oh, that's
Dallas,
cool.
Right? Dallas? Dallas area?
No. I was born in a little town 35 miles south of Waco called Rosebud. And then my parents moved to Houston. So I lived in Houston most of my life until my job transferred me to Dallas. And my ex-husband, he traveled for his job, so he could live anywhere. So we were able to take the package and move. So I was in Dallas 3.5 years, and then his job transferred him to California.
Yeah, I've been to California once. It was really nice there. But I noticed I was there in, I can't remember what time of year, but it was very cold in the morning, and the houses don't really have a heating system.
It depends. California is pretty vast from north to south.
Yeah, I was in mid-California, San Francisco area.
Yeah, San Francisco is usually very cold. And... I mean, they don't have many hot days. It's usually, you know, 70s in San Francisco. And I lived in the South Bay when we first moved here in the San Jose area. And we would get some hot days in the summer, but we always got the breeze at night, and it cooled down into, like, the 50s almost every night.
Yeah. San Francisco has some of the most livable temperatures anywhere. Because of that. They don't get hot, they don't get cold. They get fog, though.
So you're pretty close to Bohemian Grove, eh?
Yes. Yes. Not that far away. What a mess that is.
Now I've come to think it's been an overblown psyop on our minds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure.
Because I was freaked out. I was freaked out by that Alex Jones video, but now I'm kind of like, okay, it's just a club. Of course, rich people will go there. Of course, politicians will go there. Of course, they're going to have meetings and plans. It doesn't really surprise you when you think about it that way.
No, it's just like the Bilderberg meetings. They have meetings and make plans.
Just another meeting, and if they do some odd ceremonies, I think it's the same as the Water Buffalo Club from the Flintstones. They have their little entertainment section of the meeting as well.
Yeah. Nonsense. No big deal. There's nothing insidious about it in my mind. Distraction.
I'm not so sure.
The only thing insidious is could be some of the plans they're making.
Yeah, but they always tell you about them in the end.
Well, that's the revelation of the method, right?
I suppose.
Well, we're told that they're supposed to reveal their plans to us so that they can say, we told you so.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever seen any of Betsy McGee's videos?
Yes.
I love her. She's so funny. I watched some of her.
Do you think she's a real person or a simulated person?
I think she's real.
I think she's simulated.
Why?
Okay, guys, I got to go cook some dinner. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, Errol.
Bye, Annette. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Well, number one, her videos are super high production, which indicates some kind of professional organization doing it. And I studied her whenever her image was put on the video, and there's some inconsistencies in the way the videos are shown. And I think she's a very, very sophisticated, simulated person. You should look very closely for anomaly.
Wow, I'll have to check that out.
Oh, yeah. They're testing, and she's so good that I don't think anyone's noticed. And that is the level of simulation now. It's fantastic. Now, I don't know how long it would take to create such a simulation. It might take a long time, but might not with high-end CGI computers. Do you think Edward Snowden is a real person?
I haven't given it much thought. I just assume, yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think he's an avatar. He's a simulation. He is really, really great. You never see him in person. There's a couple other suspicious people that are not real people, but are simulations. Assange might be one of them. Julian Assange? Almost all recent villains and all the HRDs or hyper-realistic drills are simulated people. They're not real people. The Zokar and Anders Breivik in Norway, I don't think they're real people at all. They're all simulated people. In some way, somehow. Now, there's so many ways to simulate a person, but you have to just think of Hollywood and how do they simulate people.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I had not given that a thought. Something new to check into.
Well, you don't have to worry about telling the Russians what to do with the simulated person if he doesn't exist. You can just make up the whole story.
Well, I think we're living in a simulation.
Well, you can get extreme with your thinking, but these are just small simulations in a bigger picture. I don't think everything we are doing is simulated, but I'm just talking about the PSYOPs or the HRDs. They simulate every aspect of them because real people are unpredictable. They're annoying. They cost money. Change their minds. Think of all the real people you know and how hard it is just to even get a lunch date set up.
What about Bradley Manning, who is now somebody else because he was transgendered? I think he was in the news when my computer came up in my homepage. There was something in the news about him, her, it.
I don't follow that person at all. I don't know that person could easily be a sim, though. I don't know. I just don't follow every story. I always tune out transgender. That's definitely a filter. I don't look into those stories at all for any reason.
Well, he first did some whistleblowing on things that he saw, and then when all that was going on, it was decided he was going to be transgender, and that.
Yeah, I don't think there are real whistleblowers. I don't think the media reports real whistleblowers. They only portray whistleblowers, and they make their lives miserable in the simulation and make them appear crazy. That way, if any real whistleblowers were to ever decide they were going to go public, they wouldn't do it. They'd just see what would happen. And that's how you censor real whistleblowers. I just don't think the promoted ones exist. They're not real.
What about, the guy that was in the Mercedes that blew up? Journalist.
Yeah. Could have been another. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That would be another simulation.
You don't think he was real?
Well, I don't know if he was real, but the story of him dying is not real. Because it was heavily promoted. There was a lot of nonsense around it. So I would say no, it's not a real story. And I can't remember what he was doing. But if he was looking into something and then got allegedly mysteriously killed, that's another way of demonstrating to people that this is what could happen if you look into something where you shouldn't.
Yeah, there are a lot of, if it's true, a lot of unexplained deaths. All the bankers, and then a lot of scientists, and now alternative medicine doctors.
Well, that is really just to try and control any real doctors, scientists that want to speak out. So anyone real is going to read these stories and get worried, afraid. And they'll keep quiet. I believe that's how it works. How you manage real people. You create fake people or take real people and simulate a death just to scare people that are in that area that would be paying attention. Because the average person is not going to pay attention to these individuals. But anyone in the field would pay a little bit of attention. And then they would modify their behavior, conform, and stay quiet and not rock the boat and let the system proceed in an orderly fashion.
Do you ever go to the Anger Fan website?
The who?
It's AANGIRFAN.
No, what's that?
It's a really good blog spot. It's in the UK, and it exposes a lot of the pedophilia.
Yeah, no, I never.
There's some really, really interesting information about all kinds of politicians.
I think the pedophilia is just another. Nah, there's probably pedophiles. I think though that this tagging someone a pedophile is the best way to get rid of them, because they can't defend themselves. It's very hard. You say, it was on your computer. They could put it on the computer, and I think it's a great way to just eliminate somebody from any position of power, anything. It's a great tool. It's the worst thing you can do outside of murder.
Well, that's the problem, is that it's been around for so long, and apparently it goes up really high in the UK government, and nobody ever gets punished for it. That's the whole thing.
Well, maybe it's because they're not actually doing it, and they couldn't legally be punished for something that is only simulated. But it still gets rid of them from the public sphere. They're done. Even if you're innocent, you're done. One accusation in the media, one simulated accusation, and you're done. You're done like dinner.
Well, that's just it. Some of them don't seem to be. It doesn't cause them any problems at all.
Well, do you ever hear from them again? Do they ever lose their jobs? Or maybe they don't proceed with some of the simulations just to scare them. Maybe they were trying to vote on a certain controversial thing, and they were trying to vote the way the people wanted it, create a story, and then they use it as a blackmail technique. So many ways to do these things. It's just, these are the tools of the trade.
Well, I really think the pedophilia is rampant, and I think that I hope you're right, because it's just it's just horrible.
Well, it's abhorrent to think about, and you don't even want to look into it or think about it because it's abhorrent. That's the point.
But they also do this site, they also do the different conspiracies, the different, you know, like the Charlie Hebdo and all of the things going on. They report on that, too. They have some really good stuff on there.
That might be a clue, though, that they're putting some good. They're just mixing all that together, and it, depending on what they're saying about these so-called conspiracies, if they're not calling them media hoaxes, then maybe you can use that to deduce the pedophilia information is not right either.
No, they're calling them hoaxes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that there's so many ways to look at it. So they could be giving you real good information that we agree with and then throw in the nonsense to go with it.
Yeah, it's really sad. You just have to be so careful about everything these days. You can't believe anything.
Well,
you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, you can't leave anything unchallenged, really. You've got to really think it through carefully.
This site also goes into a lot of the different politicians' high figures that have doubles, like Putin was one of them, and several.
Yeah, put the link in the chat. I'll look at it for sure. Well, I would say all leaders have doubles for sure. That's a safety issue. That's easy to. I get that. I would say all celebutards have doubles too. What do you think of that?
Yes, I think a lot of them do.
Where do you stand on the Paul McCartney issue? Have you ever looked into that?
Yeah. Yes, I haven't looked into that as much as I have the John Lennon. Miles Mathis had a good thing on John Lennon. And the Paul McCartney, I don't know, they're showing the two different ones, and to me it looks like the same person. It doesn't look like it's a double. So
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not certain either. But what about just the concept of just how they choose musicians as cultural influencers, and if the person doesn't want to go along anymore, that they could just switch them out for a double and use them?
Yes, I'm trying to...
Like Michael Jackson. How many versions of him were there, do you think?
I'm sorry, I'm having... Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, my cursor was in the chat message, and I'm using the dash today. And I couldn't enter that link. Do I need to be... How do I... Because I could do it yesterday, but maybe I'm in the wrong... should I be in live stream or should I be in...
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll find it. It doesn't matter. You put in the live stream. It doesn't matter.
It wouldn't let me do it.
We'll open up a browser window and put it in chat.fakeologist if you want. Put it there.
Okay, I'll do that later. He got his site taken down in April of 14.
Yeah.
And it used to be, he had to change the name. It used to be, anyway, it used to be A-A-N-G, and now it's A-A-N-I-R-F-A-N. So he had to change the name and put his blog back up, and it looks like it only started in April of 2014, but there's all the old stuff from several years worth of articles that are on his old site. But there's some interesting stuff in there.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on the site. So where do you want me to put the link?
Wherever you want. TeamSpeak or chat.fakeologist.com. Doesn't matter. We have lots of places to share information. We have about 10 minutes. I got about 15 minutes left for this call, by the way, just so you know. If anyone else is listening, wants to join in to the audio chat, just go to audiochat.fakeologist.com and Ann will tell you how to do it if you can't set it up. You're listening live at s3.fakeologist.com, which works on any device, smartphone, tablet, computer, maybe some of the gaming boxes, I don't know. You can join in and talk to Ann.
I'm trying to put that link. Maybe I'll just email that link to you. I can't. It wanted me to log in, but it says that my name and password isn't matched.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you. No, it's good that you tried that. Chatango is a different server altogether. You have to create a login for that. You can put it at anonymouspsychologist.com if you want. You don't need to log into that. They're all different logins. I'm sorry. And if you need some way to remember logins, there's two good services I recommend, LastPass and RoboForm. Just Google LastPass or RoboForm. Great way to manage your passwords. And they're free, or you pay a little bit if you want more services. Really great stuff.
Okay. Okay, it's in the anonymous.
Yep.
And I didn't hear, I was doing that, so I didn't hear what you were saying.
You need a method of remembering passwords. There's two great services, LastPass and RoboForm. I recommend both of them.
I have my Google.
I wouldn't use Google. I use these so-called independent services myself. These services fill out forms as well. I know Google does as well, but...
So, what was the name of one of them again? I'll check it out.
LastPass, LastPass, LastPass. I use that.
So it's LastPass.com?
I think so, yeah. Or okay. RoboForm, RoboForm, RoboForm. Both the same. Similar, rather.
But then I'd have to remember all my passwords to tell them.
No, you wouldn't. It would be able to yank them out of your forms, I think, somehow, maybe.
Oh, okay. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it would start memorizing them as you type them in.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's worthwhile.
Well, I think I'm going to sign off, and I'm going to see about finding some phone numbers and see if I can make any phone calls to some
of
those.
Good for you,
Ann. Challenge
for you.
See if that gets
me. That'd be great. If you want to record the calls, you can use fakeologist.com/CC conference call. And what you would do is you just log on as an administrator. When you call the phone number, you just type in the administrator password. That would allow you to record the call by pressing #9 and then dial in whoever you want to talk to with a three-way conference call. And that way the call would be recorded and I would get the audio and I could save it. It would save automatically through that conferencing service.
Okay, what was that backslash what?
Well, it would be fakeologist.com/CC. Letter C, conference call.
Oh,
that gives you the instructions. Yeah, it'll give you the instructions on how to dial into our conference caller.
Do I need to know the password?
Well, I put it on there. It's on there.
Okay.
You just dial the number and type in the administrator password. And that way you wouldn't be able to get the recording, but you'd let me know and I would get it.
Okay, cool. So I do that before I make the phone call.
Yeah, you would dial in there, start the recording. You just dial in and press #9, I think, and it'll say recording. And then dial in the third number and make a call.
Okay. I'll give that a shot and see if I get anywhere with it.
Yeah, if you don't want to use my service, you can get your own account at
use your service. That's no problem.
Well, it's not really mine. It's just my login. But you could use your own. You could just go set up your own there as well at this conference call thing. And again, you can conference people on the phone or you can and also record it yourself if you want to control it yourself. It's called freeconferencecallhd.com. If you can't figure out how to record on your computer, that's how you, that's the solution. One way you could do it.
Yeah, I haven't updated to Windows 10 because I've heard it's not a good idea. So I don't know if I have. Of course, now my Google Windows says, I guess its voice can be voice activated, but I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, you can, do you use Skype?
No, I've never done that.
Okay, so how are you going to phone these people on a regular phone?
Is that okay?
Well, yeah, that's fine. But then you would have to use this conference call service then to record it. You would dial in and then add them as a three-way call.
Okay, so using a regular phone won't work on your site.
Oh, it would. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, you could use your regular phone. and you would dial in the conference call first and then add whoever you're calling to the call and make sure you're recording before you dial them in. That would be
okay.
How you could do it. Yeah.
I'll take a look at it and try to figure it out before I do it.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to hear all that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I'd like to.
Don't forget, they're probably ready for your phone call. I doubt they get any phone calls, but if they did, they'd probably pull out the book on what to do. You might not get through. I don't know. I'm sure there's a procedure. They have to have a procedure for managing, because this is the thing about the internet. I think that so many people are connected now, sharing information, that they had to have planned or are planning for the day that all their scams are exposed. So if it's the military, you know they plan for it.
Yeah, and they're probably aware that there's been recent internet activity about the hoax, so they're probably...
Of course. They manage it perfectly. They know, of course, now they know what we're talking about. They're probably sent a special email right now. All those people, they're going to redirect your call.
It's a crazy world.
That is what real intelligence is all about. Just managing the dissent, managing the people that question the system.
Yeah, and they do that really well, because I think the term conspiracy theorist started up with the Kennedy.
Yeah,
that's where that term came from.
That's right. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
And you get labeled
right. That
and, you know, just put your tinfoil hat on and sit in the corner.
Yeah, you're right. And as long as there's not enough people talking about it, there's no need to worry. There really is not. It doesn't matter if any of us are exactly right. The majority does not think about it or believe in it or worry about it, then that's fine. They're okay. Safe. If there ever becomes some kind of critical mass, there's got to be a plan for it. That's
yeah,
what I'm open
I mean, they've been living in plain sight all these years. And
yes. No one's looking for them.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I don't think the highest profile people, I don't think Kennedy is wandering around New York or Elvis. I doubt they would do it. They're just absolutely too well known. But an astronaut? Come on. I would say maybe they took a year off or stayed out of the public eyes for a while. But after that, who can remember any of them?
True. You know, change their hair color or grow a beard or, you know, whatever to make themselves look a little different just in case. And...
But it's unbelievable that they would use their same names to me. That is shocking. If that's true, that's just the ultimate in arrogance.
Well, the only one I remember is Krista McAuliffe, because she was the teacher. I don't remember the names of any of the others until I looked.
No, me neither. I certainly didn't know. If I bumped into them the next day, I wouldn't recognize them. Unless they were wearing their space suit. Then I'd know.
Yeah, that would be a little obvious. And they're not going to do that.
Okay, well, you get going on that. That would be a great contribution. I love to hear real people talking to officials and just seeing how these scams are pulled off. Because people don't call them out on it, ever. They're never called out. They're never called to account. Never, ever, ever.
Well, I remember when they were... The official 9/11 investigation, and Bush and Cheney insisted on giving their testimony together. They refused to do it under oath, and there were reporters that tried, you know, said, why aren't you going in on your own? And he goes, well, you know, I'm looking forward to going in with Dick and. You know, we're going to answer their questions. And they're going, yeah, but you're not going under oath. Well, we're going to be answering their questions truthfully. And, you know, he just blew the guy off.
Yeah, I know. That didn't seem to bother anyone, did it?
It bothered me.
Probably bothered a lot of people, but nobody that could do anything about it.
You're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
Yeah, I know. What a choice they give you, huh?
And I'm still angry over what happened to the Dixie Chicks. I absolutely love the Dixie Chicks. And their whole career was ruined over something so stupid.
Do you think it was really ruined? Do you think they were somehow in on it? Or do you think that was a real controversy?
I think it was real.
Okay.
Because, you know, Natalie has a big mouth, and she just said something, and the war had just started. They're back together, but they have not, they don't come to the States. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was all part of the crap, because, you know, they burned their CDs. People were, you know, burning the CDs, and they had death threats, and, I mean, it was just out of control. So maybe it was a hoax.
Maybe it was part of the promotion.
Well, their career was ruined, though.
Was it really? I don't know.
Their career.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they've ruined it. I don't know. That's interesting. They still exist. They're still careers come and go in the music business. That's a tough call. There's no such thing as bad publicity. That's great publicity.
No, it wasn't.
Can't buy that publicity. Nah, you can't. When your name is at the top of the news, you can't buy it. You can't pay for that publicity. So I'm not sure it's so bad. You think all car recalls are real?
Oh, let me tell you something funny. You know all of the stuff about the airbags that are faulty in some cars?
Yeah.
Well, I have a 2004 Mazda 6, and my car is one of the ones that it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
I got a letter from Mazda a couple of months ago, and it says this is just to notify you that your car will be part of the, you know, needs to be repaired. And when we're ready to do it, we'll send another letter with instructions.
Yeah.
Well, I got another letter last week, and I thought, oh, okay, here are the instructions. It was just another letter informing me that my car was part of the recall, and they're still not ready to fix it.
Yeah. Well, I got the same kind of thing going on with my car. And in my mind, a lot of the recalls are just promotion. And they go to the top of the media pyramid, and it goes out all over the free advertising. It's another way to get you into the dealership, which is a big problem for these dealers. They only make money on service, and they need you in there. And you have to go there for a recall. You can't go to your backyard mechanic. And it's negative advertising, but it's still advertising. And it's unpaid advertising, at least on the surface. But
yeah,
it's publicity. It's publicity. And if you're told that your car manufacturer is on top of your problem, that's going to make you feel real good about them. Like, oh, they're on top of it. Great. What a great company. Never mind they couldn't get it right the first time.
And maybe there's nothing even wrong with the darn thing.
Maybe not. No, I agree. So that's what I'm trying. The Dixie Chicks, I don't know. I liked a few of their songs, and I don't know if the whole thing was not just manufactured to distract. And I don't know if it hurt them.
Well, they've never toured again. Radios quit playing their music. I mean, it hurt them.
But you don't know that. Don't know that.
I know that radios no longer play them, and they're no longer recording music.
Yes,
that's
nobody's listening to the radio. Nobody listens to the radio. I don't know. I'm not convinced. Possible, but I'm not convinced. Anything highly promoted in the media is suspicious.
Well, I don't listen as much as I used to, but I love country music. I'm from Texas, I don't listen to. I used to listen to it in my car when I would travel and do stuff, but I don't. I have a 10-year-old car with less than 40,000 miles on it, so I don't listen as much as I used to. But their songs are not played, and you go to their website.
They're also an old band. Bands don't last forever.
They were at the height of their career when this happened.
Yeah, well,
so I think it was real.
What you're saying. Okay, well, just be aware that it might not be. It might be manufactured hysteria.
Yeah, I'll have to keep that in mind for everything now.
Well, look into the story deeper with that in mind.
Well, I went to their their website. You know, I signed up so I get updates.
Yeah.
You know, they tour, you know, in Europe and different places, yeah. But they don't tour in the U.S. anymore.
Well, they're also well past their fiery date, so I wouldn't look into it. I wouldn't read too much into it. Fans come and go. Anyway, I've just pulled into my driveway. It was so nice to chat with you again. Hopefully someone
nice
else can join
you.
And let me know how your investigation goes.
Okay, I will do that. I don't know how far I'll get today, but I'll keep working on it.
That would be really great. I would really look forward to that.
All right, thanks. Enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can you hear me, Gio?
I can hear you loud.
Okay, the 20th of August, 2015, and here we are in the live stream on Paycologist.com. I'm here with Kayham and a lovely young man, 27-year-old Gio Free. How are you, mate?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. Why are you here?
You know, just somewhere I can go to interact. Usually I come on here and sometimes there's no one here. I don't really look at the schedule, but I came on and you guys are on.
Yay! Woohoo! Good timing, bro!
Oh yeah, good way to spend a night.
Good.
Got some pointed questions for him, Kayham?
Yeah, you asked it earlier, what brought you to Fakeology? I always love that one.
I have to say, just the lunacy of the world has really just put me on to just to be, you know, just ask questions. And I think here is where people are asking the most questions. A lot of the places I go to, I used to listen like Alex Jones and stuff, just because it was 5 days a week, and you could just tell he was just keeping you in a perpetual circle. So I got out of that, and I'm finding really good alternatives right now, like this site.
Excellent. You're right. You found a great alternative. Hard part is keeping it real. That's what Roland and I were talking about. How to keep the information real so it doesn't turn into Alex Jones. It's always a struggle.
Yeah, but it was really funny because yesterday David Duke was on Alex Jones' show and Alex Jones just was completely killed on air by David Duke with all his rhetoric about, you know, just Jewish Zionism in general.
David Duke, he's an interesting character, and same with Alex Jones. I tried to get on his show a few times. Like I sat there for 4 hours and he wouldn't put me to air because he knew that that tub of shit would I'd give him what for. He won't let me on air.
Yeah, I hear really sad stories about people staying on hold for forever. It's really not worth a cause to call into those radio shows, even any radio show for that matter, because they're trying to objectively pick out things that the show will run with and almost using the callers. It's really not an open debate for the most part.
Not at all. Not at all. Well,
no.
Yeah, Free, and well, you'll won't get trampled on here unless I get too excited, but yeah, say whatever you like. Where are you from?
Outside Philadelphia, actually one of the whitest counties in America.
So outside Philadelphia, you were born and raised?
Yes.
Is that where you spent most of your days?
All my days.
But, you know, a fakeologist's point of view about the David Duke, Alex Jones debate was that it was pre-scripted on purpose. They both had an agenda to deliver, and then they got together on the radio show, and then they said their lines. That's kind of how we would see it, scripted in advance, because they don't take anything for granted. They don't take any risks. They know ahead exactly what's going to be said. What are your feelings about that?
I could see that being a possibility. I mean, Alex Jones is highly scripted, but he kind of ad-libs it a bit since he's been doing it for so long. But it was, I think it was 2 days or 3 days ago, the day before the debate or 2 days before, that a caller called on and he pretty much insinuated that he should debate David Duke. And I don't know how much of that is, you know, staged, but I mean, it obviously could be. But I'm just great that it happened and that it showed... Jewish problems throughout history. It's good to shine a light on that.
Do you think world wrestling, the WWF, is real or not?
No, I never watched that stuff. I never got into that. I feel sad for those people.
We lost. Who did we lose? Rowdy Roddy Piper the other day, and. The funny part is because he was like the main star of They Live. Have you watched that film?
Yeah, I watched it for the first time about 3 years ago, and I found it very fascinating. Just the glasses and everything.
You know what I'm talking about? The cracker. You seem like a nice guy, Jeffrey. I mean, Philadelphia. I mean, I like baseball, so the Phillies. Are you into baseball at all?
Yeah, I used to play, but it's really hard to follow the MLB since it's so long and exaggerated out.
I love it. I think it is the best game there is. I've played it high level, and yeah, it rocks.
Congratulations. Playing at a high level is good. I mean, I might have been able to if I stayed with it, but it took up my whole summer, my 1 year, and I just quit. It's too much.
Well, it's just what you're into. I mean, and tell you what, it brings everyone together in Australia here, where I am down under. It doesn't matter if you're like a top notch lawyer or whatever it is. It just brings everyone together in a nice way.
So, Rollo, baseball's big in Australia.
Well, I mean, we bush league baseball. I mean, it's not MLB or anything like that, but yeah, it's good. It's excellent to play. It's such a great game. Everything relies on someone else. So, you know, you're up to bat. I mean, someone gets on base, then it's just the perfect game as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, everyone's responsible for their certain section of the field. Everyone's constantly thinking what, you know, they have to do if the ball's hit to them. Who's on base? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you're interested in this, and if you don't want to talk about this, just say, look, I want to talk about something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do have one question. I think Cahan might be able to answer this. You may have too, but is there any way you could explain, you know, nuclear fakery to me?
Woohoo! Okay.
Nuclear fakery?
Yeah, just nuclear bombs being fake.
Well, if you go to cluesforum.info, they have a bunch of photos that they analyzed, and they said these photos do not appear to be real in any way, shape, or form. All the videos don't appear to be real. So then you ask the question, well, if all the footage, basically every piece of footage we've ever found out, there's fakery in it. Are the bombs themselves real if all the footage is fake?
So even the staged early, you know, test bombings in the Nevada desert, that's all manipulated footage?
I don't know if all of it is, but I'd have to go to Clues Forum and look. I don't know which they analyzed and which they didn't. But what they posted, they analyzed, they said this appears to be fake. I just have to, like, I never did it, like, take all the photos and then check off which ones Clues Forums already did, but, you know, pretty much seems that way.
Yeah, but that's just one area that it's really interesting to go into. Just because, I mean, if nuclear power is fake and nuclear bombs are fake, then it completely takes away the paradigm of, you know, warfare.
Doesn't it? And it just take one. Just like, let's look at the Bikini Atoll. That is a wildlife reserve. It's in pristine condition. You'd expect there to be a giant hole there or something. But the exact atoll that was there before the bomb is there after the bomb. So you're like, what did they explode here then? If nothing got disturbed and there's no radiation anywhere.
Wow, that's the first time I've ever heard of that. And I knew Bikini Bottom. I've heard of that island, and there's a wild reserve on there. Wow.
Bikini Bottom. I think that's SpongeBob SquarePants there.
Or Bikini Island. My apologies. I'm kind of young.
No, it's funny, right? My God, that has to be on purpose. I watched this SpongeBob SquarePants movie on the way back from Italy because it was one of the options, you know, in this seat, little video camera thing. But you're right. You didn't make that accident. You didn't make that slip on accident. That was pre-programmed into your brain, bro.
Yes, yes, very likely. And Kham, I have to say thank you for the vaccination and the I forget what term it was, but the where they hide all the undocumented elements in vaccines in it.
Oh, I kept calling it an adjunct because I'm an idiot. But then Unreal said it correctly. It's the adjuvant is the name of it. Yeah, adjuvant. Not adjunct. No, that's wrong. Kham said it wrong. But I let people learn me. So, like, now it's adjuvant.
We are not perfect. But it was a fascinating chat I listened to today while I was at work. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Do you have any kids at 27?
No, I'm barely financially independent.
Well, that doesn't stop people from having kids. You know what I'm saying.
No, yeah, you're right. If I wanted some free dollars, I'd start popping them out.
Right.
Come on, get on. Find a lovely young lady. Squeeze it in. Come on. You can do it. I didn't do it. I have to vicariously live my life through... There's a lovely young man called John LeBon down under here. I don't know. Do you know who he is?
No, I've heard him referenced quite often, but I have listened to the Ball Earth Skeptic Roundtables, a few of them.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Eric DeBay and Mark Sargent. And your,
John LeBon would be the fast-talking gentleman in those videos.
Ah, okay.
Kham's got some issues with him, and I don't know why she's got problems with him, but I'll defend him. I'll defend anyone who wants to say anything.
Well, you know, he shouldn't need your defending him, should he? I think he can defend himself.
Well, yes. Well, he's 27. We're a little ahead in our lifetime. I'm 45, and I don't want to, I don't want to say your age, but GO3, he is 27.
And you know what, Rolo, your loyalty is admirable. Really, I like that. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Well, it's not loyalty. It's like it's when I've listened to him long enough, I will make my own decision, and if he spins off into something that's not right. I always, like, even Alex Jones, he has every right to be who he is. And if people say he's a character and whatnot, it's up to him. And you don't have to listen to Alex Jones. You don't have to listen to Aberrato or you, Kham. No one's forcing you to listen to them.
I think it's the fact that there's just so much out there and that you can now hone in and have these special talks, you know, because, you know, there's no overhead to record this audio anymore because geographical bounds are totally out of the question now since we can just record from halfway across the world, you know?
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? I mean, that's excellent.
So true, right? Geographical boundaries are nothing now. Time zones are a bitch, though. I just got to throw that out.
They are, aren't they? When we did the thing, John LeBon thing the other night, it was like 7:30 on a Saturday night here. I mean, I was kicking around doing nothing and spoke to him before on Skype before we went to air. Yeah. He was kicking around. He didn't need to do anything, obviously, because like he was there for 6 hours. So, do you remember Jeff C on his show? Where Jeff C went, I can give you an hour or something. But he got fully engaged in the whole conversation. There he was. He stayed there until, I think, YouTube or whatever it is, Google Hangouts, kick you off after 8 hours.
Hey, Gio, have you ever done a Google Hangout?
Oh, very early when they first released it in like 08 or 09. but I know they just updated it.
The trick is, like, learning who's on and when to go on and when they're doing their deal. It's kind of hard to sync times up sometimes.
By the schedule, the thing that Fast Value did, what's it called? The schedule or meetup or whatever it is.
Yeah, meetup. It's brilliant. But, you know, I didn't even look at it. I'm like, I'm coming on.
I'm with you, sweetheart. I'm the bull in the china shop.
But it works for us, so I guess we'll keep doing it.
We're like-minded. I mean, Geo Free says he's only need to sort of come into the fakeologist, which is Aberrato, which is .info. And it was like the, what did he call it? He called it something like the 9/11 recovery show that he was trying to help people out that are going through the waking up process. So goddamn gorgeous. I want to hug the guy so, you know, so much, because that is just such a wonderful thing to do.
The September's Clues video I watched very recently, like maybe like just like a week and a half ago, and oh my goodness, just so enlightening.
Huh. You know what? When you were watching that video, I was actually with Simon Check. Can you believe that?
I mean, are you going to make me jealous? Do you want me jelly?
I want you jelly!
Jelly!
He's great guy. He's so nice and sweet and genuine and brilliant, but he's not, you know, he's so, what's the word? About his brilliance.
He's really not egotistical, is he?
Right?
He doesn't have an
ego. Not at all. So go ahead and try to insult him. It's going to be really hard because he, you know, he doesn't really have ego at all about.
Simon Shack is a lying piece of scum. He is just the worst kind of piece of garbage on this planet.
You just gotta put that out there for the universe to balance, right?
He's
just here on the live.
He is the best. Gerard Holmgren, you said the other day, Kayham, that did you want to talk about Gerard Holmgren?
Yeah, we could. Yeah. I don't think that's a secret. We could talk. That's you know, people early on in the 9/11 movement were put there in place. And Unreal was talking about when they make a psychological or a hoax operation, whatever you want to call it, they also put in place the people to catch the doubters like us. They're there. It's a real thing. It's not fake at all. And Simon's run into several people like this who are there to try and counter, you know, to support the official story.
Also, there's always provocateurs in every kind of protest that is, you know, anti-establishment. They always try to make the good people out to look bad through people coming outside and causing ruckus.
Yeah, we had that here in Seattle when we had the world, the W something conference in Seattle like 10 years ago.
Isn't that like the G8?
Yeah, it was the G8.
Oh, the G8. Yeah, G8.
Was it the G8?
Where are you going with
it? Was
that?
Before the G8 even, the World Trade Organization. Anyway, people had pictures, you know, they were available on the internet a while ago, but of these idiots in these black clothes just smashing shit up as they walked by for no reason. It wasn't the crowd. It wasn't people with signs. It was a separate group altogether.
Same thing happened at Occupy Wall Street. They broke windows and stuff just right by Zuccotti Park.
You know what it is? There's these mob mentality. We're talking about mob mentality here. But if you want to destroy a movement, you throw in like a whole bunch of actors or whatever it is that and mess things up. Like it's just the way the system that we live in is. Self-repairing. It looks after itself. I mean, I can't see any way to change it. I don't know. Talking about it, I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I was just going to say, Rollo, we can't change it, but we can change ourselves in reaction to it. That's all we can do. And when you said hoax recovery, that's what we do. We're like, you know, dude, the world's okay, except for these assholes over here. World's okay.
These assholes over here. That's right. But that's not racist. I mean, I'm not anti-American. I think 9/11 was just the worst thing ever, but does that mean I'm anti-American? Geo Free seems to be into David Duke. Does that mean he's a sort of a Nazi? I don't think so. What do you reckon, Geo?
Well, the thing about David Duke, I'm not a huge avid listener, but I have followed just Jewish influence on history, and it is real, and you just have to talk about it in the right light, and I think David Duke does do that. But he does have a past history of being associated with the KKK, which is a total hindrance on him speaking into the public airwaves, which, you know, took him out of the Senate in Louisiana.
Yeah, there is, unfortunately, there is a big campaign in our media to try to make a race war. All you had to do was look at the Ferguson riots. Those newscasters were using such inflammatory words. They were trying to get people upset. And then almost, you know, right before that, you had the movie Alabama. Boy, if you weren't black and pissed, then you are black and pissed after you watch that movie. I mean, they are trying to pit whites against blacks. It's an active campaign. So in order to free yourself of that, you just got to say, you know, maybe there's something else going on here.
Can I completely?
Is it okay to say the word niggers?
Well, you know what? I asked some of my black friends that, and they said it feels hurtful to them when they hear it.
Call them niggers.
Yeah, it feels hurtful. So I guess I'm not going to say
it's it's a tough word, isn't it? But then that's called political correctness.
Well, you know what? There's no white equivalent word you can say to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, there is. Crackers. They call us crackers.
It doesn't carry the same weight. You don't go, cracker. No. The way the white person says the N-word can be super hurtful, I think. It's in the intent behind it.
So if I call the American president that nigger, I don't think David Duke would say anything like that. But
no, it just makes me feel bad you're saying it.
Is it? All right, I'll keep saying it then.
Well, the one thing about Obama is that he's mulatto and he's very white presenting. He doesn't present any of the black culture at all. He's completely white presenting. So, in all theories, he's white and a complete liar. But you know, to call him a nigger or a nigga is totally out of bounds because he doesn't have any of the attributes of the African American community.
Am I a racist?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what the attributes, because I taught in some areas that have 30, 40, 50% African-American population. And what I noticed about the African-American community is it's centered around the church. That's it. It's not hip-hop. It's not gold jewelry. It's not Sega jeans. It's the church. That is the center of their community that I noticed. So I guess if Obama's Christian and he goes to church, then he would represent the black community.
Well, do you know what church he goes to? That his pastor was a race-baiting black man in Chicago. He's one of the worst preachers I've ever heard. He's slanderous to Christianity completely.
Right? So that's my proof. Even the president is involved in dividing the races and making a race war.
Yeah, divide and conquer is a classic all our lives. Divide and conquer is the way to go. It keeps the rich on top, and like in America, the poor people. I mean, it's just rubbish that so many have so few have all, and you have so many that don't have anything. It is a disgrace on humanity, in my opinion.
And it's fascinating that people talk about just the black community being totally impoverished. There's more of a white poverty community in America just because there are more white people in the nation.
Remember, they were brought.
Exactly.
They were slaves.
So true. Yeah.
They were slaves.
But you know what? It's poverty, I think. But what we should get around is that the issue is poverty. And those rich people look on us like we don't deserve anything. Like we're just cattle to be used. Regardless of our color, we're disposable to them.
We're goys. I mean, this goes back to a Jewish Zionist movement. And when I say Zionist, you don't have to be a Jew to participate in it. And they literally believe the Talmud and the Kabbalah, it literally promotes Jewish supremacy inside those.
Yeah, but Madonna with the Talmud, Madonna. Do you know who she is? Singer. She kind of went into that whole sort of, can you come Jewish?
Sometimes, but they don't really like those people. It's really funny because a lot of the people that practice Judaism are a lot of them atheists, because in Judaism, they don't practice a thought of an afterlife. And that is why, possibly the Jewish community keeps their money. They try to gain as much monetary influence in this world to pass it down to their lineage, because they know there is no afterlife. Like, there literally is no God, heaven.
Yeah, Freddie. Do you know what? When you're conscious, or it's just like you're gonna live forever, because if you're not there, I mean, I need to be here so I can talk to you, right? It's just consciousness is one of these things that it can't go away. Even if you get shot, I could kill myself a million times. Have you ever watched Groundhog Day?
Yeah,
that's the sort of the way I look at it. That was Harold Ramis, wasn't it? That was a fantastic to work. Yeah. There's nothing to be frightened about. And coming up on the mic here is what I was trying to say to Cahan before. John Le Bon's talking to people like about round and flat Earth. It's a perfectly he has every right to talk about that subject. And Cahan seems to be has an issue. Come on, Cahan. What's your issue again?
Basically, I don't feel like John is being intellectually honest.
Right.
I'm just going to say it. He's a smart dude, really smart. He's too smart to continue to think this flat earth thing is just an interest. He should know by now that it is a full campaign and that he is participating in that campaign, voluntarily or involuntarily. But I think it's...
Ingenuous. He's not genuine, is what you're saying, right?
Right, it feels like to me, yeah. And the biggest problem is sitting down with Hoy for one of the Cahan episodes. We interviewed David Weiss, and his 9/11 story was sketchy as shit.
Yeah, guilt by association. Yeah, so we go on the guilt by association. Is that where we're going with this?
Well, and then John joins Clues Forum, and he understands, you know, what the research is there, yet he seems to ignore it completely, and he presents himself as one way, but then intellectually he behaves another. So yeah, it's disingenuous.
All right. Okay. What do you got to say about that, Jeffrey? You got any thoughts on that?
I don't have a complete thought on it, but I think it may be smart for him to pull back a little bit. I think he's just trying to find new information with talking with these people. To divulge his whole, you know, arsenal of information would possibly not be the brightest thing for him. But I don't know. I really don't know.
And so what is it? What did he solve with all this investigation, all these interviews, all these fired video makers? What did he solve? What's the deal? What did he solve? Because I'll tell you what, I dove into dinosaurs a good couple dozen hours. Maybe more, maybe into the hundreds. And I pretty much, I figured out what was going on. They had the pictures before they had the bones. And when they did find the bones, they only found like a part of a jawbone and maybe a part of a femur. And then they're like, T-Rex, dude, T-Rex. It's total bullshit. It didn't take me long to figure that out. But would I have to do dinosaur video after dinosaur video after dinosaur video and just keep talking and not telling the people my conclusion? No. When I figured it out, I told everyone my conclusion. Here it is. Dinosaurs are total bullshit. They're just whales. And if you ain't in the club, you ain't never finding a dinosaur. You just gonna be finding whales.
Yeah, you know, I find it really fascinating, the dinosaur topic, because I really, you know, I just accepted it, and then I just never went back on it, because there's all these brontosaurs, you know, pterodactyls, there's all these different names, carnivores, you know, and my growing up, my buddy, he had, in his childhood room, he had all the dinosaurs lining the border of his room, and he was fascinated by it. And it turns out that this kid doesn't think for himself at all. He's now into pharmaceutical a study, and he's like a pharmacist, and I find that kind of stuff kind of like out there, and he believes in dinosaurs and everything. But Cam, I have to say, that what year was the first bones, you know, found?
Well, as far as I can tell, what you have these like educated dudes in England, and what they were doing is they were collecting all sorts of odd manner of things. It was like, they were also finding during this time period, like the late 1700s, early 1800s, they were getting into big mammoths and finding those Ice Age animals and putting them on display. And then, you know, look, I think I found a giant. And maybe they did or didn't. So they were mixing fantasy with reality. So it's kind of really hard, you know, to separate the two. But what I found is they were passing bones down from each other. Like after they studied them, they'd have these fossils and rocks and hand them to another guy. And they decided some of these dinosaurs just from these boxes of fossils. They weren't even found in strata. They weren't even found in the ground. But mainly in England, they had quarries that they were digging, you know, granite out of for buildings and stuff. And so in the quarry, they would find these weird fossilized bones. So all these quarries were on a lookout. If you find a bone, send it to the sir over in that manor over there.
You know what they use quarries for in England, mostly?
What?
It's a lovely show called, I don't know if you know it, it's called Doctor Who. And they're Boom. Always knocking around in quarries. It's just like, it just looks like an alien planet, right? It looks like they put a camera on you and you're in a quarry. It looks like an alien planet. Yeah, it's just fantastic stuff.
So imagine, right, finding these bones, right, these weird fossilized things in these alien planet, and it's mystical. Oh, yeah. You're like, what the hell is it?
Yeah, dinosaurs are dinosaur is a common term for old person. Hey, Cahem, you're a dinosaur. Just thinking the.
That's like, yeah. Man, that's mean.
But, you know, Gio, the dinosaur bones you're finding now, they're wholesale fake. It's all fake shit now. There's no...
Yeah, of course
they're,
it
they're
is.
They're not
of
even finding whale bones. They're just making shit up. Just yeah, making it up.
You don't see that in the news. And I found it fascinating when I think I was listening to a fakeologist audio chat that if you go into a museum and you ask the person that's, like, giving you a tour, and you're like, are these real bones? These are, like, our official bones? And they... will say no, they are, you know, they just make molds. And it's like, what?
Right? There's not one official dinosaur bone in any museum in the United States. Not one. Not one. Can you believe that?
And they don't tell you that straight up. You know, you have to answer that. You have to ask that certain question. And who's going to have the balls to ask that, you know, to even think that? You're just conditioned.
Exactly.
That I found, there's one in England. I have to remember what it is. And they said they have the original fossils found in those quarries for our original, I think it's, what's the lizard that swims? Ichthyosaurus? They might have it, but they're like the only people. Yeah. But anyway, they're just whale bones. That's it, folks. It's misinterpreting whale bones. And you should see them. The way they go into like,
Trilobots. Yeah, that it's even better.
Weren't there a lot of like excavation, like after World War I, like before World War I, and a little bit after World War II in Saudi Arabia is where they found a lot of the bones.
In Saudi Arabia, huh?
Yeah, for some reason, I'm believing that, you know, a lot of archaeological digs happened around Saudi Arabia, Egypt, you know, the Middle East, where, you know, there was,
you know, the
no
place that nobody wanted to go.
Exactly.
It's one of those places where they wanted to force all the Jews out of World War II. Who the hell wants to go? Who the hell wanted to go to Israel? You'd enjoy that subject. Geoffrey, are you in for that one?
What do you mean, the foundation of Israel?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this has been a great conversation, but I have arrived at my destination, so I must say goodnight to you.
All right. See you.
Have a good night.
Geoffrey, it's been wonderful talking with you. Hopefully we, you know, come back. Come on back. You hear?
I'll be back. Thank you, Kayhan. Have a good night.
Take care. Good night, Rollo.
All right, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, the creation of Israel. I don't know if you do you remember a guy called Paul Unreal? He's a French guy, and it's
Yep. I like him. He can talk good, but he tries to find his it's good.
He's hardcore, and you don't mess with that frog. I mean, he's great, but when it comes to the creation of Israel, there is in your opinion, because the first time we spoke, David Duke, and immediately I have an opinion of you as a racist Nazi. Now, is that correct or not? I have that.
No, not at all. If anything, I would like the Jews to accept us instead of hate us, like their religion teaches them.
Okay. So yeah, the Jews or the Zionists, or where are you going with that?
It's fairly both. I mean, Jewish people follow in their religion; they're brought up into it. Most of the time, it's not their fault, but it's just the Jewish supremacist book. The Talmud, just the whole way they're brought about. But the Zionists, they just go along with it because there's a lot of money behind it.
Yeah, okay. And so, like, the planes hitting the towers, like, that was that a Jewish plot?
People try to say that, but the Zionists have been forcing the United States to fight its wars for a long time, and they've always done it. To say that it's completely a Jewish conspiracy, I can't say that. I don't have enough facts, and I'm not going to go off ad-libbing, you know, talking nonsense. But there was a lot of strange things that did happen with urban moving
vans. They'll send the Mossad to your house and bump you off.
Yeah, I believe it. Mossad is probably one of the most ruthless organizations, you know. No one talks about it in America.
I'm really joking. I mean, like, to talk about it is okay. I mean, what Simon Schacht has done is just the highest exposure of a monstrous lie. You know that, don't you, Gia?
Yeah, if you just watch the plane go into the building, it makes no sense.
You know what I'm talking about. And, it's nice to know that there are other people out there, and that's why fakeologist.com, which is what we're talking on now or on TeamSpeak. You seem like, for a 27-year-old, you seem great. I mean, it's good to know that there are young people that are know this shit.
Yeah, well, you know, I graduated in 08, and by the time I realized it, that, you know, the world was falling apart and these huge bailouts of these banks, it kind of was reminiscent of just, like, another 9/11 to me, because I was like, what's happening with this world? Why isn't America, you know, building up? Like, I grew up in a Catholic school, Christian school, so it's kind of different from my perspective. It was very Christian-based, and you know, to look back on it, it's just like they didn't really give us the actual information we needed to, you know, further our knowledge. It was kind of like they kind of kept us there. So when you get out of high school and you're able to have a little bit more free time and to search certain topics, yeah, you can go into these, you can realize that, you know, everything we've been told for the most part has been a lie or a white lie. You know, they're trying to just keep us in stay. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah. I'm with you, mate. I mean, that's it's just nice to know that 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 you have that sort of what did you want to be when you grew up? Did you want to be an astronaut or not?
I kind of wanted to probably play either baseball or basketball, but then I realized that I'm a.
Are you tall? How tall
well,
are you?
Well, I realized that I'm a white guy and only weighing like you know under 175 pounds. You know, I'm not going to go anywhere.
Right. Yeah, but you got a brain in your head, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's a good start.
But you know, you got it comes a good at voice. A price. Comes as a price, though. I mean, my social life is completely deteriorated. It's done. Like, I can't really hold basic conversations with people. Like, I do follow the media, and I follow, like, celebrities sometimes just to see what they're up to. And I try to talk to people about it, just normal people trying to have normal conversations. And I can't – I just don't understand what these people out in the world are thinking at all. Because, you know, I'll talk shit about the Kardashians and transgenderism being blatantly thrown into our face. And these people I talk to, for the most part, they just don't give a shit. They don't have any opinions. They can't just have a conversation.
Bruce Jenner, is that what you're talking about? That
Yeah.
That craziness? Yeah.
Well, it's a whole promotion thing. Did you know about Obama's administration in the White House just hired the first trans woman?
Oh, has he? Has he? That nigger is, I mean... Am I allowed to call him a nigger?
You can say whatever you like. I mean, if I don't get offended by it. I mean, these people talk about in a rap song.
I'm just trying to get a reaction out of you, mate.
We're all that goddamn niggers.
The goddamn nigger!
You know, if you want, there's some really good podcast that's kind of, it's very edgy, very edgelord. If you're ever interested, the right stuff got biz.
No, don't call me Lord.
No,
I just call me Rollo.
No, it's a term.
Look, I think when it comes to presidents, my favorite, and again, I'm going to repeat myself, is Bill Clinton. when he splits away, that's all. Look, I'm not a racist. I'm trying to get through this life and have a good time, but I don't like being lied to. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no one wants to be butt of a joke.
Lied to. I mean, blatantly lied to. And 9/11 was the biggest fucking lie. I think is the biggest lie there is in my lifetime. And it changed the way that I'm treated now. I was treated nicely, and now I'm treated as a terrorist. I'm a terrorist. You know what I'm talking about?
Is that due to your opinions post 9/11?
Could be. Yeah, Or
do you look like Bin Laden?
Yeah. Well, I don't look normal. I mean, I'm not a abs as that. I have a face for radio, which is lovely.
Don't we all have a face for radio?
Go again?
We all have faces for radio.
Yeah, I know.
They only put people on television with like 10 inches of makeup on nowadays.
Oh yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it?
Oh, I have to say something. I think it's the ABC morning show. That one dude, he's really funny. I like him. In Australia, he's always cracking jokes.
Oh yeah. His last name Roland or something, isn't it?
It might be, but he's always cracking jokes and stuff and. Kind of saying some on PC kind of
thing. I'll tell you something funny. Hilarious. When I got back from Thailand and I got back on the airport, and I was jet lagged to the shit house. And I'm walking through the airport feeling like crap. And there's David Koch coming straight towards me, and I look at him and I go, I know you. And, like, the closer and closer I got to him, it's like the angrier and the angrier he got. And then I went, no, I don't know you. Because David Koch is a guy on breakfast radio here on Channel 7. So I did a quick lift, and I went, oh, my God. The guy almost punched me out. Like, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. So you are kind of duped to think that his on-stage presence might be his off-stage presence as well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Plus, I was a little bit, I was a little bit punchy, you know. If you an eight-hour flight, I didn't have all my faculties together, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, I don't think I'll ever go up to anyone I think I know that I've seen on television. It just seems very ugh. And if anything, like, I don't. For the most part, they kind of suck, because if they're on television, they're most likely pandering to, you know, mainstream ideals.
I agree with you, mate. And look, it's just, mainstream, excuse me, I'm burping all over the place here. Mainstream is where you have to, they don't let you get, I'm starting to stutter. They don't let you get on air if you're not going to say the right thing.
Oh, no, they'll boycott you for sure. I can't think of a certain example lately, but, you know, people have always been blackmailed off television. You know what
There must be. There must be. Yeah, let's think about that. Let's think about that. The black guy that killed his, the white in the white car or whatever it is. Remember that? Where he was chased. O.J. Simpson, do you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what was that all about, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny you bring that topic up now, because they're filming. They might be done. They might be in post-production right now, but they're making a movie about that. And, you know, the Kardashians, the children, they were children back then.
Okay.
They're in it. But anyway, for me to think about it, it was completely staged. I mean, I do think people died. And I do think OJ just got off the hook, but it was kind of a race pandering kind of thing. Like, you know, it's just another thing to start the fire up again, you know, of race baiting.
Billy Joel, we didn't start the fire.
Oh, good song.
I know where you're going. I mean, it's just like classic. But the thing is, you're young. You're young. You're 27. I'm like 45. I mean,
I'm actually 26. I'm sorry. I felt my
birthday.
Yeah.
You're okay. 26, 27, doesn't matter.
No, I mean, I'm really young and. But I wanted to interject real quick. You know the helicopter scene when they're following OJ down the highway?
Yeah.
Towards Mexico?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Do you know the helicopter pilot? Have you ever heard about him?
No, tell me.
Oh my goodness. So this guy was a man. He was a chopper camera pilot. He became a trans woman, and he's now a trans woman, and now his whole thing is about being trans woman. He doesn't fly helicopters anymore, and he's the most ugly-looking trans woman ever, like all trans women. And I'm not being offensive. Like, I'm just going to tell you my true opinion.
No, we can look this up.
I would look it up.
So you're not talking bullshit.
And there, I think 2-3 weeks ago, he was on, like, a panel, and one of the guys is, like, this Breitbart reporter, and he's just going after trans woman, kind of. And he calls I forget the guy's name or her name, but he calls this Breitbart reporter calls her a him because he doesn't think he's actually a her, and she gets so offended. It's great. It's so amazing, and it's so funny to tie it back to, you know, how much the media pumped this guy's personality up.
That's awesome. I mean, when I had long hair, I used to have long hair, and when I went to Thailand, they call me the girly man. They call me girly man. They think that I'm female or something. But if you look at me, I'm very ugly, as Ab says.
Well, Thailand, that's so out of your cultural norm.
Yeah, well, again, like the where I'm going with this. I think it's something. It was because I was. It was my 40th birthday party, and it was a really good time. We had a really good time in Phuket and in Bangkok. Yeah, it's just a great place, and I suggest everyone to go there. Yeah, and to enjoy and just know if you've got it good. Just see how the other half live. Yes.
Well, the funny thing is about Thailand is, say, if I said to anyone that I knew, I'm going to Thailand, people would be like, are you going to bang ladyboys, you know? So, but I'm sure it's a nice place.
It is excellent. It's excellent, but you have to have an excellent mind. I mean, I'll tell you something, and this is, hopefully this will go out on it on the ecologist.com. He won't remove this. Is Australians, I was down there, and there were Australians where I was buying a packet of cigarettes. I used to smoke at the time, and I wanted to buy some beer. And the thing was,
hey,
the point I was trying to I'm going to make now is this, they were buying condoms, these youngsters. And because they were going to, they're on a sex tour or something. I just thought, oh, it's filthy. It's disgusting. But, that's the world we live in because of the system. You know what I'm talking about?
They say sex sells. And welcome, Ohioan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ohioan. Can I use your first name on air or not?
Oh, sure.
Daniel, how are you,
mate? Yeah. Hey, dude, doing okay. What's the topic du jour?
We've got a new guy. I've never spoken to him before. His name's Jeffrey. He seems like the nicest guy I've ever spoke to. So, Jeff, do you and O'Halloran know one another?
I've talked to Gio before. I think, haven't I seen you on before? I thought I recognized it when I saw Gio. I was like, oh, I think I've talked to that guy at least once before. Maybe not. My memory's not what it used to be.
It might have been
all the coffee. Too much coffee, mate.
So
I love the coffee talk. It's the inside joke now.
Yeah, oh, that's funny. I'm glad you guys are getting something from that. I love coffee. So anytime you want to have the coffee discussion, let me know, because I actually make a cool cup of coffee. I have a whole wrap on it. So.
Do you use a presser?
Yeah, I use the AeroPress. If you guys go to Amazon and type in AeroPress, that's the one I use. And there's a reason that I use that one. A couple of years ago, I think it was, or maybe it was just a year ago, I was listening to Joe Rogan talk about good cups of coffee.
Bulletproof yes. coffee.
Yes, bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, that's yep. great. Yeah,
yeah, and so I was always looking for a decent cup of. It's very difficult to find a decent cup of coffee in this country. They have stick coffee, and I don't know. Maybe they have something like this in the United States. I'm not sure, but
Have you ever heard of a company called Nestle?
Nestle?
They're evil.
Have I ever Nestle. Heard Nestle? Nestle? I mean, I know in, Nestle.
Yeah, Nestle.
Yeah, the chocolate company
corporation. I mean, yeah, that needs to fuck off and die in my estimation. Nestle should fuck off and die.
Yeah,
it needs to be destroyed.
Yeah, we have stick coffee that's really popular here, stick and it's coffee, really coffee yeah. in name only. It's sort of like coffee flavored chocolate milk. And everybody drinks it, you know, and it's basically just swill, you know. But it's fast, you know. It's everybody sort of drinks it.
And Helen, have you tried the one that I suggested the other night?
Remind me, what did you recommend?
The one that goes through the animal, the one that the animal shits it out.
They've got that.
Have you tried that yet?
There's a company called Coffee Tory. And wait, I'm going to link it to you. It's all in Hangul, but my wife can read it.
You're right, mate.
And you'll see a picture of that animal that they've got this animal like suspended so that they can collect the droppings. And
why are you not a radio guy?
I don't do, you know. You know, I didn't.
Everyone,
plan my
everybody's
life.
Saying
just,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, I love your voice. I mean, I can hear it. I can just hear that. I can't believe that you spent most of your life as a what do you call it? A
truck driver.
Truck driver. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible that I can hear your voice now. It is just so awesome.
It takes so much to break into radio. You have to pander so much, and O'Hallahan's too much of a cool guy to do that.
I really, when I graduated from the university, I just needed a job. That link that I've got in the chat is a company in Seoul called Coffee Tory, and it's the front page. You'll see it's all in Hangul. And if you scroll down a little bit, let me see if I can find that. Because now I want to find the name of it. It's called Kapi Luwak. Kapi
Luwak.
Yeah, and it's $400 for a bag of it. It's $400, and you can see the little critter that they've got. They got a picture of the little critter. And wait, I'll link the actual picture with the critter. Hold on. And, that has got to be the most heinous thing. But, you know, it's $400 for a bag. The coffee that I buy is.
I see where you're going with this. So yeah. You're actually, saying that it's cruelty to actually drink that coffee.
Yeah. Oh, not only does it price me out. I mean, first of all, it prices me out. There's no way in hell I could afford something like that. But
well
also,
done,
oh, my
well
God,
done, well done on that, that. Yeah. On that. That's excellent. That's excellent work because, I wanted to, cruelty though, I have a budgerigar that I keep in a cage.
Yeah.
And I have a guinea pig here as well that is in a cage. And I'm in a cage too, you know, in my house.
It's a metaphor for your life. Your animals is a metaphor.
It is a metaphor, an allegory, or whatever it is. And I tell you, he can come out anytime he wants. But I have lovely animals that are on the out of the forest that come and visit me.
Yeah, Rollo, I'm with you. When you put out the bird food and they actually fly to your hand and they eat the bird food out of your hand, I thought that was the most amazing thing. And Nuna loved that too when she saw that. She was like, wow. We live in a city and in an apartment. And the reason that we're here is because my customers are here. But neither of us would choose to live here if we had our choice. And we...
Yeah,
we
but Halloran, I think this is where we're going with this. Is I mean, there would be no prostitution if the system wasn't so fucked.
Oh, you're telling, dude, you are totally speaking to the choir, dude. We are all prostitutes. You know, guys that laugh at prostitutes, you know, need to re-examine their own lives. We are all prostitutes.
Jesus, you know. Them.
Yeah, I mean. You know, guys, I mean, rather than selling sex, I just sell English lessons. You know, I mean, come on.
But how much more liberating that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least I don't have to be naked when I'm giving English lessons. But, you know, because that's a scary sight. But
Hold up. Before you start on that, do you think that you're opening their minds to the English, you know, media, which is complete manipulation?
I totally agree with that. And believe me, you know, I'm totally there, with that idea. You know, I have a movie class for my fluent students. Like yesterday, I had, you know, his English name is John, and he was, I was showing him the movie, Dark City. And, you know, trying to open
Dark
his
City.
Mind. Yeah, trying to open his mind to concepts of being asleep. And,
Dark City, who was Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke, no.
Am I thinking of the wrong film? Dark City.
On,
it says Rufus Sewell.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I just got a Skype message.
You're right.
Oh, okay. It's William Hurt, I can't remember the other actors' names, but, you know, it is a, in, you know, I have a whole conspiracy movie class, you know, and it's patterned after one of my favorite classes at the university. It's a media appreciation class. And I introduce concepts like flat earth. And I've been introducing concepts like flat earth for 2 years. You know, it's way wow. before the Mark Sargent, you know, Eric Dubé debate.
We have Kaham here is like a little bit upset with the young man that John LeBron with the flat Earth thing because he's interviewing all the guys. Did you have any opinion on do you think John LeBron's on the level or what do you reckon?
Well, I have listened to John LeBron every time he puts out a podcast, and I got to tell you, I like it. And I like it for a few different reasons. First of all, it's interesting. Second, he has got a really smooth delivery. He's a very bright guy, and he's got a very smooth delivery. And on top of that, he's a very logical, rational thinker. You know, the only thumbs down I went on John LeBron was that debate, you know, I'm making the air quotes, the debate that he had with that douchebag. I don't know who it was, but, you know, I mean, John, you know, he had a
He's
troll.
He's making plenty of douchebags. Don't worry yeah. about that. I, like, the other night I was, like, yeah. going, flick this cunt. Like, flick this cunt. This yeah. cunt doesn't even deserve yeah. your time.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that? Yeah. That Scully and me, it was you that told me that,
yeah.
Why do you spend your time talking to morons?
Yeah. Well, Yeah. Go ahead. Finish that thought, Rollo.
Yeah. You said to me, why would he bother talking to morons? But, it just then, again, this is where I was trying to go with Kaham. Yeah, which is, he thinks he's some sort of shill. I'm going, no. It's just what he's into at the moment. And
yeah.
he has, and if he can talk to all these people, good on him. Good on him. And he talks to us. Excellent. Well, he's not a bad guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, I don't see conspiracy and everything. I mean, you know, Ab and Kaham have a, you know, seem to have a knee-jerk reaction to immediately dive in looking for the fakery. And I'm not in the habit of doing that. I take people at face value, which is, I don't know, it could be a mistake in itself. But I don't detect any, you know, any fakery from John LeBron at all.
Well,
I mean,
well, the thing with... Did you actually read the comments in the where people were being unkind to you?
No, I don't read that.
Well, they were really yeah. really unkind to you, and it was only because I was just sort of calling you the coffee man or whatever. It is.
Nah.
It's just like these morons had already decided that. I'm the good guy, and you're the bad guy.
Yeah,
you know, that sort of shit.
You know, I mean, I don't get caught up in that. First of all, I'm not a chatter. You know, like I'm 52 years old, so I don't see that text very well. I've got to really blow the screen up to see that text well. And second, I'm not really into criticism. You know, criticism is just the opposite of praise. You know, either something is correct or it's
There's
incorrect.
No, it's not. No, yeah. it's the same. It's like love and hate are the same thing.
Yeah, it's just a mirror image. You know, I mean, it's always nice
is the opposite of love? It's indifference.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that.
Yeah. That's an interesting
indifference,
thought, actually.
Where you don't give a shit.
You just don't care.
You love someone and you hate someone.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah. You know, I put it out there. I mean, I hop onto this chat channel not to be necessarily enlightening. I hop on this chat channel because I enjoy talking to you guys. You know, I mean, I guess sometimes it's enlightening and sometimes, you know, we're just kind of kicking the can, you know. But
Daniel,
it's all the same to me.
I mean, you just, I mean, you seem like the sweetest guy that I like. Just kick the can. Why not? What's that called? That baseball game, stickball or whatever it was in New York. But you're not a New Yorker. You're actually from the
Jersey.
Yeah, from Jersey. That's right. That's
Yeah, I don't know. Fantastic. I mean, the reason that I keep hopping on is because of you guys. You know, you guys are intelligent and you are awake and you have something interesting to say. You know, I mean, that's if you weren't intelligent or you didn't have something to say, I would just.
You'd, what would you do? Yeah. You'd just flick it.
I just wouldn't show up. I'm actually amazed.
It's what I do when I talk to people that don't know what they're fucking talking about.
Yeah.
You know, one story, O'Hallahan, you weren't able to get to, which I listened to today. It was like a 2.5 hour audio chat, but you were building a computer for a girl.
I was building a what?
You were helping a girl with a computer with Linux.
Yeah. It was Babette. And she wanted to. She had heard my whole rap on Linux, and you know the reasons why. And she wanted to try it. The problem is that she's not computer literate, you know. So I was very excited to help her out with that. But at the same time, she does not have a command of the basics, and so trying to Linux is a. You know, the criticism that I get about Linux is that it's a programmer's operating system. And it used to be, a programmer's operating system. It is, since in the past, 4 or 5 years, it has morphed more and more into a, just a casual user's desktop, depending on what flavor of Linux you download. But you have to know something about computers to just get it up and running.
Do you think that's the full understanding to switch to Linux is pretty much just about installing ISOs, files, and just, basic updating and changing operating software in the computer?
Yeah.
It's not even just working the terminal. Like, that's a whole nother story, but you can get by that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly correct, is that you have to have a basic vocabulary. I took her to the download site in Canada because she lives in Canada, and I took her through the steps to download the ISO, and she said, "Oh my God, is it going to change my computer?" And in other words, that's where she is. Like, she doesn't understand that she's just downloading.
People are frightened, though.
Yeah.
People are frightened.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand.
People
that.
Are frightened of change.
Yeah, the rap that I wanted to get into with that. Was that it is very important to understand that your computer is not a television. You know, no one has ever gone to prison over a television.
So completely true.
Yeah.
I have a really funny story because I used to play console games and on the television. I used to watch just TV all the time. My parents are fucking zombies, man. But anyway... complete American television viewers here.
Don't say that about your parents.
So, on console video games and stuff,
they have
a memory card.
You, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I love them. But, love, hate. Someone says, your parents don't try to fuck you up, but they do. You play video games and stuff. Like, while you're playing video games, you have to save. And I remember going on AOL, and I was stuck in, the kids section. And I remember it was, 2 years since I've been on the computer on the internet. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I was probably, 12. And then I was, logging off. And I was like, where do I save? I remember saying that.
Oh, God, that's funny. People get really uptight about their lack of knowledge or something. And it's really just a phase that everyone's got to get through. Don't get self-conscious, I mean, at 52 years old, I'm beyond that self-conscious thing. Where Rollo was asking me to, did you hear all the crappy comments,
At 52
years old, you know, I mean, people could hate me up and down, and I, not only wouldn't I care, but I wouldn't even notice. I just don't even, I don't even bother with other people's opinions, you know. I mean, they're really irrelevant, but you've, my point with, you know, helping people install Linux, and I, and, you know, for the first time, I really got a sense of what the guys on the Windows helpline go through. You know what I mean? Because with Windows, there's a very high percentage of users that really think that their computer is a television. You know,
that's Microsoft, and, right?
Yeah, and when you turn on your television, it just works.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah,
I think I've heard of Microsoft.
Yeah,
when you go on Bill Gates, right?
Yeah, yeah, and so
now let's talk about Bill.
Oh man, O'Hallahan's on the story.
His wife.
He's telling us some knowledge.
Yeah. Well, you know, just to, you know, to finish that up is that, you know, Gio, you're right, is that you have got to have a basic vocabulary about computers. And, you know, she's an older woman, you know, she's closer to my age, and she's very, very knowledgeable on a lot of topics, especially about the topics that we're interested in. She has got, you know, I mean, she's not only done research, but she's done activism. I mean, this woman speaks a few languages. She's very articulate. She's very intelligent. But when it came to computers, like, she would get very frustrated very quickly. And, you know, I was almost to the point where I was thinking maybe she should just stay with Windows, you know, like maybe, you know, maybe that's just, you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe she just needs that little extra hand holding, you know, from a helpline, a professional helpline. But, you know, Linux.
That's, all of us. I think, Ab said the other night where all we do now is like put apps on our phone. That's all we do. We don't know any of the
workings behind it.
The workings behind it. That's it.
Oh, Helen, offline with her. You probably need to be offline with her. So, you know, because just even hitting F10 to get into the BIOS of a computer, people think they break their computer when they do that. Like when they just go into the BIOS, you know, trying to start up a disk, you know, to boot off of.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, dude, I tell you, I was helping one of my friends who is he is in World of Warcraft. He is a PvP master and on,
master!
What is that shooting game, that everyone loves? Call of Duty. On Call of Duty, he's one of those guys that, you know, like he's great. He's great at it. Like they all know his name. And I helped him build his latest, his latest gaming rig. And I said, you know, you've got to update your BIOS. And he flipped, you know. I said, Jim, you listen to me. When you update your BIOS, you just got to think about what you're doing, okay? Because if you download and you install the wrong BIOS, you're going to hose your whole system. So think about what you're doing. Make sure you've got the right BIOS for the right
and
board.
And don't overclock.
Yeah,
overclock. If you don't know what you're doing,
I'm overclocked.
Yeah, I'm overclocked too. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I know. But if you don't know what you're doing, look.
Yeah, all you've got to do is
fucking do it. Don't fucking do it. If you do it at your own risk, and you blow up your rig.
Nah, it's not gonna blow up. That's another common. You won't even do that. What'll happen is that, and it's happened to me, like I overclocked to about 4.6 and nice. It just shut down. Yeah. I had to back it down to about 4.2 because I don't have a gamer board, so I couldn't overvault and it wasn't allowing me to overvault. And, so the max I could get out of it with the stock voltage was 4.2, so I just backed it down to 4. It's not a big deal,
42. You know. It's just
is that an i5?
Great number.
Yeah. What was that, Gio?
Is that an i5?
i5. Oh yeah. It's the Intel Haswell. Yeah, K version of i5. Yeah.
AMD. Intel.
No, it's Intel.
Which is the better chip?
It's a personal preference.
Yeah, you can go with Intel. It has it's probably the best at the moment. Yeah. But AMD is probably better securely.
It's like Intel is like intelligence, and AMD is like mad. Which is, you know, the word.
It's an anagram. It's a word scramble for mad. That's really funny. That's a funny thought. No. Yeah, it's an anagram for mad. But yeah, I went with AMD just because there was a wider selection of mini ITX motherboards. I wanted to build a mini ITX rig, and I went right to Intel. I don't know. I'm comfortable with Intel's technology, and to go with AMD with a mini ITX, it was I didn't really like the choices that I had.
And that's where Intel makes it possible. Their overhead, they have such influence that they have such choice.
Yeah, yeah. I like ASUS. I bought an ASUS motherboard.
Oh, ASUS.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember that. They're good boards.
Yeah, ASUS. I bought an ASUS
back in the day. Yeah.
Video card. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they didn't have an ASUS at the time. I don't know what they've got now, but they didn't have an ASUS Mini ITX AMD board, and that's why I didn't really think about AMD too much. I just went with Intel. So plus, I know Intel. I had an idea of how much I could overclock.
You remember? Here you go, Helen.
Yeah.
You remember? This is the official story. You can tell me if I'm wrong here on the conspiracy theory or whatever it is, that Microsoft, basically IBM, mm-hmm. when they, back in the 70s, said, oh yeah, you know, Microsoft, you can keep the software. You can keep the software, and then of course Microsoft becomes, because it's not the computer, it's the software is everything.
Mm.
And do you know what I'm talking about here?
Back in the day, back with the old VAX machines that I used to have at my university, the operating system was open source, and anyone could improve the operating system if they had an improvement. Right. It was, you could see that the code for the operating system. And so the operating systems were making leaps and bounds in software technology.
You talk about ENIACs and EDSACs and all the,
man, I forget the, we had what was called a VAX machine, and it was,
VAX. I remember that.
And it was the same amount of, computing power that's on your digital watch.
Oh, yeah.
It was the size of a small room.
They're trying to tell us they went to the moon.
Yeah. On those computers. It was ridiculous. You know, it absolutely, you guys are hitting on so many points that we could go into for hours, but yeah.
No, you're right.
To answer your first question about Microsoft, I got to tell you that I thought I knew the Microsoft story, right? And it was a lame story with the one that I thought I had, but it's in question. I don't know exactly what happened. From the story that I heard is the same story that they put on that, it was kind of like they did kind of like a documentary where, Pirates of Silicon Valley, where Bill Gates goes to his Unix buddy and says, you know, I just want to buy your operating system. And this dude, he called it QDOS, right? And his little operating system was an acronym for quick and dirty operating system, QDOS, quick and dirty operating system. What he did was he basically took Unix commands and he hacked them together and, just to run, cheap software. And Gates, this is how the story goes, offered him like 10 grand for it. And the guy was, beside himself that someone would actually pay for this piece of garbage. And, he, Gates gave him $10,000 for it, and he just changed the name to Microsoft Operating System rather than QDOS.
It was called MS-DOS. It was called MS-DOS.
Yeah, and and then what Gates did, as the story goes, and guys, we know what a story is, that he just started licensing the operating system rather than selling it whole. In other words, you don't own your operating system.
What a scumbag that guy is. I mean, that's just typical of
It kicked off a real backlash in the computing world, and that was Richard Stallman, who was beside himself that he could not, examine the operating system. And then on the other side of the world was Linus Torvalds, or however you pronounce his name, who just started putting out Minix, some kind of Unix. This kid loved Unix when he was at the university.
And
he called it Minix, where he just kind of hacked together his own Unix operating system and started putting it out there. And finally, it evolved into Linux. So you have these two philosophies that are evolving side by side, and one of them is a capitalist philosophy, and the other is a communal approach, an open source communal approach.
The capitalist is Microsoft, and the communal is Linux or Unix or whatever you want to call it. Where's Apple in this?
Communism.
Apple had its own software, and it was way ahead of the curve. I mean, I owned Apple computers for years when I was a kid in the 80s, and it was way ahead of anything that Windows had. But the market share went with Windows, and so we all started, even I eventually switched to Windows.
Why they got a big, huge market share, right?
Yeah, well, probably because he's a bloodline. I don't know. Gio, tell me. I assume that's... Go ahead.
But the bloodline is probably correct a little bit because his family, his mother and father were part of Planned Parenthood and eugenics, but that's another story. But they got... The thing is, they were able to obtain all the business contracts. And all these business contracts, they're making them oodles of money. Like here, I just searched real quick, and they said they licensed the first operating system to IBM, QDOS for $10,000 plus royalties of $15,000 for every company that licenses software on every computer.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and thank God for the conspiracy community. I mean, for all the faults
we
of
thank
conspiracy
God. I don't know.
Community,
I don't know if I believe in him.
Yeah. Well, we have learned so many things, and even from Ab, I am a big fan of Ab. He doesn't realize when he talks to me that I'm a big fan of his. And the reason that I'm a big fan of his is because he does things like fakeologists. I haven't done anything like that. I've been in the conspiracy know for, I don't know, it's got to be like 25 years, and I don't have a website. My hat's off to Ab for doing this.
Yeah, he's the greatest piece of work that it's him and, obviously Simon Schack getting together for a little bit. Yeah, it's the nicest thing, and well done to you, O'Hallo. Look, I don't know why people are unkind to you. You seem like a sweetheart to me, and but I don't know you. Geoffrey, I mean, you seem to listen to the Fakeologist website too as well.
Yeah, no, Ab's great. Although sometimes he's on really noisy phone connections, but that's all right.
Yeah.
God bless him for setting up this TeamSpeak server. I would have not many
I think
people
that
think
was
about this
it was a guy called Johann Bax that suggested to Ab. Have you ever heard of him, Johann Bax?
No.
That does ring a bell for me.
Matt Heimbach.
It was because Ab me and Ab have spoken many times, and I have a pretty good memory, even though I try and destroy it with all the booze. But yeah. well, there you go. You got a laugh there.
That his name? Matt Heimbach?
Matt Heimbach. No, Johann. J-O-H-A-A-N. He's just a lovely guy. He's just like the Blue Moon guy that just did the JF. He's just written a new book on JFK. I mean, have you guys read that?
I haven't. I can't get books in Korea without doubling the price.
Download it. It's a PDF. You can download
it. Oh, really?
It's a piece of piss. It is so easy. Yeah.
Where would you find it?
Download it and read it.
I'm just not into JFK.
Right. Okay. If that's what you're
everyone
into.
Everyone has pet topics. That they and for me, JFK, I've been there and done that. You know, so many years ago, I looked into JFK and I was shocked at the things that I learned. But it's kind of a been there. Even like 9/11 is a been there, done that kind of thing for me. You know, for me, the definitive work on 9/11 was Simon Schacht's. And on my podcast, I was going nuts over what is it, September Clues. I was recommending it. Yeah, but that was a definitive work, you know, like that was it. After I went to Simon Schacht, I stopped looking into 9/11 because I felt like I'd gotten the last word on it. So
it's brilliant, isn't it? And September Clues, and I'll tell you, Helen, I waited for 3 or 4 hours, and I spoke to a guy called Jeff C. He's a Canadian. And he knows that planes hit the towers that day. Do you know that? He knows.
He knows. And how does he know?
Yeah. Well, because he said on air, he just said, and he was like rude to the guy that he was talking about. he's changed his name, Truth Media, or he's called Red Pill Revolution or whatever it is. It was just so awful. And that's where John Levon exposed this guy for being a scumbag.
Yeah.
What did he say? Like, what he saw the planes at the tower, or he's just
what
saying
he
that?
Said on air, and this was actually on what do you call it? Cluesforum.info. They even got a mention there. So that's something that he said. That planes hit the buildings that day, and we know that there were no planes that day.
Well, I don't know what happened. I mean, you guys know that I was on the New Jersey Turnpike when that happened.
That's right.
I didn't
ask you that question.
It was
on Monday morning, right?
Yeah. It was on a Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Rollo. he's testing me. He's testing me.
Oh,
because,
how
are you? I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Gio.
Well, the way you explained the blue sky that day, I remember it. I remember the crispness. Like, the air was just crisp. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was the most beautiful day. I don't think I'll ever forget that day, though. But I was so young, and they never told me about it when I was in school. We did the whole
thing. They don't teach you these things, Gio.
Yeah, no. What he's pointing out is that something that he witnessed and I witnessed and Dave White Weiss witnessed is that it was an amazingly picture perfect day.
So
you
clear.
And there wasn't even traffic on the turnpike. You know, I mean, it was really weird. It was idyllic. You know, it was, you know, I was cruising through that day going, oh my God, I hit the lottery today. You know, not only is it a beautiful day and I drew like the most cherry assignment, but I mean, there was no humidity. There was no traffic. I mean, why was there no traffic? It didn't even strike me that there was no traffic. And then all of a sudden it came to a complete stop to the point where I just turned my engine off right in the middle of the turnpike. It was just a parking lot. And I'm like, oh my God, I just crapped out, you know.
You saw the smoke coming from the towers in your own mind. You saw the smoke.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Smoke, I mean, right? I mean,
well, there
what
would
I would
smoke,
give
right?
to see that. To see that.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, Gio. Go ahead.
Well, there would be smoke. There was explosions that day.
Yeah, I guess my point was when I was telling that story was I did see black smoke. I mean, you know, that I can confirm. You know, I looked out my passenger side window and there it was. I mean, the towers were smoking black, you know, but I did not see any planes. I mean, then again, I was, you know,
but the planes had apparently already gone in.
Yeah.
Into them. Yeah.
And it's
and
not
you
like
didn't
I
see
would
the collapses
have seen
either.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't see the collapses. So,
no, because what they did was they diverted us off the turnpike pretty quick, and which I thought was actually kind of amazing that they did it that fast. But, you know, I was glad they did it at the time. You know, I'm like, oh, thank God, you know, the cops are out there fixing this mess for once, you know. But now that I look back on it, it happened too quickly. You know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
New Jersey turnpike was
gonna
a parking
see,
lot.
Like, yeah. Planes flying at 500 miles an hour at that low level,
which is a physical impossibility,
and going into buildings. Yeah.
Yeah.
The story is so ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I can at least attest that one of the buildings was there. I remember eating at the restaurant. So
did you?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So they were real.
Yeah.
What was the meal? What did you have?
Probably like chicken fingers or something.
Oh my God, he was a kid, Rollo. You gotta remember what you had.
Oh, I'm not grilling him.
I can't
I'm not
say
grilling
one thing
him that hard.
I remember
what he had.
I can say one thing I remember is going to the bathroom and there was a black guy, you know, that helped you with, you know, give you a towel to clean your hands. It was such a nice restaurant. And it was It was the first time I've ever seen someone like that in a bathroom. I thought it was really weird. And like
when I went to Thailand, like this is what I did. I gave someone.
Dude, you are the master segueist.
I gave Thailand.
Yeah,
gave
man, I'm about
like,
to talk
like,
about.
Do you know $500 or something?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I you don't tip, you tip a different way. I gave him like something like $500 or something, and I didn't realize.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That's funny.
So his whole life would have changed because of that. Because
of Rollo.
I know.
Rollo is making people's lives better. I have to say one more thing though. I leaned over to the window of the restaurant and looked down at the lobby.
Yeah.
And all these little people just walking in, walking everywhere. And I said, they all look like ants. It was it was the most flabbergasting thing I've ever seen in my life. I remember the view.
That's funny. So, Gio, just to go back to the computer, have you tried Linux? Did you look at it? Did you toy with it?
Well, the funny thing is I'm running Linux Mint Cinnamon on my laptop right now, and I'm actually using it more so than Windows.
Have you done the Cinnamon Challenge?
Yeah.
No.
I've got some links for you to tweak it. Wait, I'm going to link
into... Hey, dudes. Hey.
Yeah.
Do you reckon you... Should this go in the live stream or like is this Fakeologist talk or not?
I think it makes people better. I mean, if they're looking for different avenues, because a lot of people, their lives are centered around digital technology. But I don't know.
Have you done the cinnamon challenge? Have you put a teaspoon of cinnamon in your gob?
I don't do those stupid memes, those viral videos. I don't do that.
You don't do that?
What in the world are you talking about, dude?
What are you talking about, Helen?
What you got to do is go to the and get a cinnamon. It doesn't cost much. It's like it's next to nothing. Yeah, put it in your mouth and see how you go with it.
I put cinnamon in my coffee, but.
Linked
is, yeah, that I don't mean to change the subject, but That link, Gio, that I put in there. Look,
I think I might let you guys go.
Yeah. You know, like, all right.
I'm having a really good time. I'm riffing. I've done so much damage to my body today.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
But you still like me, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. Well, you're a teddy bear.
Dude, my wife says your name every single day.
Why?
Every single day. It's you know, in for Asians, saying Rolo is not an easy thing. And you know,
Lolo.
She goes,
Lolo.
Yeah, she'll look at me and she'll just go Rolo, and both of us will just bust out laughing. She won't say Rolo, she'll say Lolo.
Yeah.
Lolo.
Well, Nuna to me is like, I just want to give her the biggest hug. She just sounds like the sweetest girl that I could imagine. But
yeah, she's really cool.
But I think of you the same way.
Yeah, thanks, Rolo. I appreciate Daniel. Your company too. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and we're just this new guy here, Geoffrey. I don't know anything about him, but he seems like a sweetheart too. So leave the whole thing, but leave the conversation.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Ab will enjoy this, and I don't know if he will post it or not. It doesn't matter whether he does or doesn't.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, dude. Very good.
Okay, then.
Very good.
Gio,
I'll stay here if you want to wrap more about.
Yeah, I got nothing but time.
Yeah.
Have a good one, Rolo. Nice talking.
Take it as your
Rolo. Okay. Thank you very much. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Gio, that link that I linked, that will tweak. You can tweak your laptop with that, and 10 tweaks for and actually that is that site will link to other tweaks. Like I don't know if you've got an SSD in your laptop or not. But if you do, it has an SSD tweak, and you know, it has other tweaks also.
So. Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's got a lot of stuff. And I do have an SSD. I got a IBM ThinkPad, and I got a regular hard drive and an SSD. The thing is,
sweet.
It's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And you can just like take apart this computer, upgrade it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll see all the links there that you need, and the one that you need is for the there's a way to put in, I mean you'll read it, but what you can do is you can insert a piece of code and it will automatically kick in the trim function every time you boot the computer. So in other words it'll trim the SSD as soon as you boot the computer, and that's something that you know that you definitely need to do. So
yeah, boot times.
Yeah. What else did I want to tell you about that? Oh, and are you aware of how to cut and paste into the terminal, your terminal commands?
Yeah, you can't use keyboard shortcuts, but you can right click.
Yeah, well, what you can do is use the middle mouse button. What you do is control C to copy and then use the middle mouse button. You know, put your pointer on the terminal where you want your text to go, and then hit the middle mouse button or push your wheel down, your mouse wheel, and it'll insert the text into terminal that way. A lot of people don't know that. They start actually eyeing they start trying to eye it and type it in manually, and that will drive people mental. And it took me I was using Linux for years before somebody told me that. typing in the little slash mark, you know, backslash, and then finally someone said, dude, you don't do that. And I'm like, what do you do? And he's like, you just control C. And then I interrupted him. I said, but control V doesn't work in the terminal. He says, just hit the middle mouse button, dude. And then I did it like as he was talking, and I'm like, oh my God.
It's like
how many hours? Yeah, how many hours of my life I wasted by trying to type in those arcane commands into the terminal window. Yeah, you just control C, which copies, and then middle mouse button, which pastes to terminal. And if you needed a keyboard command, it's insert. It's I think it's shift insert if you want to use the keys, but middle mouse button does the same thing. So.
Oh yeah, well I'm on like a short keyboard. On this laptop, on my Linux machine, I'm using a Apple Bluetooth keyboard and trackpad, and the trackpad works way better than it does on Windows. It's fascinating.
Yeah, interesting.
Windows support for Apple products is terrible.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. That would make sense. Let's see. But, yeah, that's really cool. I've actually got my interface looking like Windows XP. That's the one thing that we can't do is share screenshots in TeamSpeak on Skype. We could, but I've actually got I loved the Windows XP operating system. I thought it was one of their better operating systems, except for the open ports and the spaghetti code and, you know, the vulnerability of spyware and malware. But the interface of it I thought was really good, and the hierarchy system was very easy to understand. And so the Linux Mint Cinnamon, the Cinnamon interface is exactly like Windows XP, and they've got a Windows XP theme, right? So all you have to do is change your theme. You have to download the theme, which, you know, just go to themes, and then they have a tab for get more online themes. And then just scroll down until you hit the Windows XP theme and then download it. And it immediately shows up in your themes, so you could switch to it immediately. And so my desktop actually looks like Windows XP.
Yeah, that's it's really nice to be able to update that kind of thing. I have updated the whole experience, and I'm kind of infusing myself slowly into Linux. And I have it. I just have the top bar. I got statistics reading on my CPU usage, my memory, my network, my disk usage, and it's all right in a small area, like right next to the clock. And
wow.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And that's like a top download for panel updates. But yeah. You're saying that you're making your environment XP based. Have you ever heard of Tails operating system?
Oh, wait a second. That's going to get me off the couch. Hold on. Wait. Can you spell it?
Yeah, it's T-A-I-L-S.
T-A-I.
And this operating system, it's not really supposed to be a regular operating system. It's more used for live CDs or live USBs, you know? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Well,
Tails is a live system that aims to preserve your privacy and anonymity. I'm going to the wiki. Tails, I had never heard of this.
Oh, wow.
It's a Linux. It's a flavor of Linux.
Oh, yeah. We're on the same topic.
Yeah, and very good.
So this is, you just, you make a bootable USB, and you can put this on a micro SD, a CD, and you can just boot into it. So you start up your computer, you enter BIOS, and you boot from that USB drive. And it's really funny because this Tails, it's all Tor. All your networking is going through the Tor network.
Tor network.
Yes. So you have a constant VPN, and it's just security-wise. Like, if you just want to do your banking there, that's probably a good bet. They actually have an XP theme, like, built in. Before you log into it, it tells you, like, you can just change it to make it look like you're using XP, so you don't look like you're using something weird.
Wow. I'm downloading it now. Downloading it now.
Yeah, it's a small little thing to have, I think. It's nice.
Yeah. The, just to throw controversy into it. No one is really sure about the Tor network. You know, the big question with the Tor network is who would put together such a network, you know? And then when you follow that line of thought, you know, you'd wind up uninstalling, you know, Tor network.
Well,
you know,
I mean, aren't we on the internet, which was created by the ARPANET, you know, a government-financed military industrial product. And the Tor network was the same thing. And, I mean, it's the only way you use it. And the funny thing is, the Tor network was to be used for these, you know, overreaching governments, you know, so that these people could have a voice outside of their government, you know, through firewalls and the China firewall.
Yeah. The question is that who would have the resources to put up something like that? And so that's why, you know, the conspiracy theory as far as the Tor network goes is that it's actually run by the CIA. You know, who knows?
Well, they have the keys.
Yeah. I don't know. I was using the Tor network for a little while because I had read that philosophy, but it was a lot slower. I'm used to Korean internet, and Korean internet is blinding fast. I mean,
what's your upload download?
It's like 90 megs per second each way. And it's just incredible. You know, I can test it now if you want to. Let me go to speedtest.com and I'll test it. But I think it was close to 100 megabytes per second the last time I did it. Wait a second.
I'll do the same thing as well.
Yep. Speed test. Okay. I'm on speedtest.net by Ukala, and I'm beginning my test now.
Oh, wait. I'm on a VPN.
Yeah. 80, 85, 87. 87 down, and upload is 91, 92, 93. So I've got download speeds of 86 and upload speeds of 93. That's megs. That's megs per second, which is just blinding fast. You know, I mean, when I move a video file from, don't exit. Okay, when I move a video file from my hard drive, my SSD to a USB, it's moving at, you know, 30. No, it's moving at about 50 megs per second. So that internet speed is actually faster than I can move information to a USB drive, which is incredible.
Totally flabbergasting. Yeah. In my community, I'm able to have Fios, which is a Verizon product. I know you're outside the United States now, so
yeah.
I'll try to elaborate a bit. And Fios is a fiber network, and they ran fiber all through the neighborhood. And it took them about like a couple months, but it's I get around 30 to 50 megs, I
think. Mm-hmm.
And that's just perfectly fine for me.
Yeah, that's really fast. You know, I mean, I remember the old days when we were measuring internet speed in kilobits. You know, I mean, I do some torrenting, not some torrenting. I do a lot of torrenting. And back in the old days, I mean, if I got 50 kilobits per second to download a movie, I can remember downloading the old Sopranos series, and I would download an episode of The Sopranos, which is only I don't know, what is it, like a 200 meg file or something like that. I'd be downloading that thing overnight. These days I could download, like I just downloaded, you know, Mad Max, you know, Road Fury, you know, a Yiffy copy of like 750 megs. And I got up to go to the bathroom, and by the time I got back, it was sitting on my desktop, you know. It's, you know, it's blinding fast speed.
Yeah, I have trouble sometimes with my torrents. It stops at 5 megs. I don't know. It might be the program I'm using, but it just stops at 5 megs.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, downloading torrents is, you know, it's a real controversial thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, in Korea, you know, I can get anything that I want from an English site. You know, but I know that a couple of my friends in the U.S., if they start trying to download something from a torrent site, they get a letter, you know, that says stop using torrent sites or we're going to boot you. You know, your service is going to be terminated. And, you know, which is, you know, it's horrible. I mean, we live in this horrible, you know, God.
The paradigm is terrible.
Yeah. Oh, Christ. You know, I mean, if they just set up, I could go on and on with this topic about how this world should be, which is a useless discussion. But, you know, if they made a movie, right, and you know, they just put it out there for free on the web where you could just grab it in seconds and put it up on your big screen TV and watch it at home, you know, and just say, you know, please donate a couple bucks if you like the movie. They would get, you know, money flooding in, you know, but, you know, we have this system where everyone goes to the movie theater. How 1950s is that? You know, and we pay, you know, what are we paying these days for a movie? Like when I left the United States, people were paying like $7. I mean, what do you pay when you go to the movies?
Oh my goodness. Are you talking about IMAX, which is, you know, the HD version of the film theater?
Oh man.
IMAX is probably around $25.
Oh, that's stupid.
Dude, it's insane.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, it's these contracts that these studios set up. They have to make sure they're making that money. If they don't make sure that there is a facility that is closed, that they know they're going to be able to generate revenue, then, you know, they're not going to make it if they can't. So these movie theaters, they're in a closed market. It's total rigging.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
But have you heard the theory?
Heard the what?
Have you heard there's a conspiracy where being able to torrent, you know, these movies, they keep it out there so that, you know, the shitty movies are out there all the time and people will download them and then be mass propaganded against. And, you know, the smaller movies that, you know, are good, are really good and teach real good stories, you know, it doesn't matter because most of these people are going to be influenced by the shit movies that come out constantly. So.
I haven't heard that one. I'm real finicky with stuff. Like I don't watch a lot of media. The thing that I do the most of the time, and I besides listening to MP3s, I'm always downloading MP3s from learned individuals. You know, I like to be enlightened, but other than that, I mean, for as much computing knowledge as I have, I'm always going to like UFC.com and checking up on the latest fights. It's just the stupidest thing.
Hey guys.
Yep. Hey Rolo.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
And what J.O. said there was just superb. It's like, there's a new film coming out. It's going to be called Harrison Ford. Be the
Star Wars.
Yeah. The new Star Wars film. Like seriously. Is that going to be the best thing ever?
No, I don't know about the best thing ever, man, but I'm looking forward to it. Batman versus Superman. Gio, you don't think it's going to be good?
You know, I'm young. I'm 26, and I hate this comic book culture. I really do. And the reason is because they're changing the stories to influence masses. Like, they now have introduced a black stormtrooper where you've never seen any of the faces of the stormtroopers, and the only one we see is now black.
It's a black guy.
Yeah, and it's to pander to the masses to make this a global hit movie, because now the international market is bigger than the U.S. market, so now these people are producing these films that are, you know, they're pandering, and the woman is another main character, and she's like a new Jedi. And I don't think there's ever been a Jedi woman before, you know. It just changes stories all the time.
A huge fan, Gio.
No, I get it.
Originally?
No, I kind of did. I got bewildered by the 80s because I saw it from the 90s perspective, and it just looked really weird and just spacey, and it just, I don't know. I kind of liked it, but I never divulged myself into the storyline.
Okay, so.
In other words, you're thinking that Star Wars is going to go PC. That's what you're thinking.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Well, yes. Yeah. Massive. Yeah. I mean, PC is what we get given, shoved down. I can't say the word nigger. I mean, that's not PC anymore.
Yeah, that's really horrible languaging anyway, you know?
Yeah, I know. But I'm not racist. I mean, I know you're not black. You're a white guy, right?
Yeah. Well, I am.
But PC means political correctness, which is what we're taught to. I think Geoffrey was talking about Irish. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Rollo, did we lose you? No.
No, we didn't. I don't think we're. Have we lost him?
No.
I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah. You hesitated for a second or two, and I thought you went off.
He was typing. He's typing into
chat.
It's Irish Brit.
Yeah.
I did that the other night, and I thought I might have upset John LeBon my favorite guy, of course, obviously, Aberetta. Yeah.
Oh,
That's all. We're still going out live.
Yeah, I think so. We're in the live stream channel, so.
Yeah.
I think we're still going out live. I don't know if anyone's listening to it, but. Ab always wants us in a live channel so that we can get other people. We can get other people involved in the conversation.
Hey, guys. On Lord Rollo. I did a thing with, that Ramstein.
What?
Ramstein. Look it up. We're all living in America or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Du hast mich.
Yeah, du hast.
Do you know where I learned that song from?
MTV?
Bam Margera and CKY.
Oh, Bam Margera! He's the guy that will pour around sorry. Yeah. Go.
I was just saying hello to my son. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bam Margera.
Yeah, he was just a local hero in my town.
Bam Margera.
Not a hero, but just someone that got popular.
Yeah. Nah, he's awesome, Bam Margera. I love the guy.
He's a retard, though.
Yeah, well, he pours,
But I'm off that subject.
When you want to, when friends, meet up, the guy that, what was his name? Who's the fella that this is interesting in my opinion. That thin fella who joined Jackass. The thin one.
Knoxville?
No, not Knoxville. The other one. Keep going.
I'm trying to think.
The really thin one who was who sort of hung himself and did hanging himself. Do you know?
He's
what
dead.
I'm talking about?
He's dead.
No, he's still alive as far as I'm aware.
I think I know you're talking about. Did he chug beer into his butthole?
Yeah, chug beer. What's his name?
God!
Being so blatant, I'm trying to think. He's doing stand-up comedian now. Comedy
he's
now.
Hilariously fun. Yeah. A beer in his butt all.
We can about guarantee
his name.
That,
I've got his name. I can't think of it.
Ab will never post this podcast.
You don't think?
Steve-O.
Yes, Steve-O.
I have a really crazy story about one of the members who died, Ryan Dunn.
He died. Tell me. I want to hear that story.
Well, I heard that car that night flying on that road that he died on. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
And what do you get from that? Like, what do you mean? Like, in other words, you saw the car that he was in, or you saw the car that hit him, or
I heard the car roaring. The 911 Porsche he was driving. I heard that car, and the road it's on. Like, I live right near it. And it is the most, it's like so straight. It's like such a straight road that people drive fast on it all the time. You can just hear the cars going. But I've never, ever heard a car go as loud as Ryan Dunn's car.
Yeah, and what are you saying? Because that's what they said to.
It's just a freak accident. Like, I don't know anyone that heard the car or saw
it. He had a, what was it? He had a 911 engine in a car that shouldn't have been. That is so sad, actually. Are you saying that you heard that, or what?
I'm saying that there is no fakery in his death, I don't think. The car was so loud. I've never heard a car that loud before, and it was perfect timing for me because I was just going to bed at like 2 o'clock after, you know, hours of just going on the internet into a rabbit hole. And I just hear this car. I go to bed, wake up.
Do you remember the guy in the car with him? Zach, someone?
Somebody that lived right off the road he was going on to.
Do you not remember the name of the guy that was in the car with him?
He wasn't that big.
But he was not, well, there are people like, and then there are nobodies.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say that I remember hearing that car. It was just so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Gio, I don't mean to change the subject again, but I've got that OS and I'm reading about it right now. I'm really liking it. I'm gonna boot it into one of my USB drives and play with it. It's really cool.
Yeah, and it syncs up to the Tor network no matter what. And if anything, and you know, it's just another added security measure.
Yeah, now they've got a Tails operating system tutorial, and I'm gonna download this. It's a YouTube video. Wait, I'm linking the video to you.
Yeah, look. Do you think Ab will put this to air? I don't know.
Not if we keep talking about chugging beer in your butthole.
Look, I love
shock jock.
Well, yeah, my favorite word is Oklahoma. That's my safe word, Oklahoma.
Why is Oklahoma your favorite?
Well, because it's like got three or four syllables in it, like Oklahoma, like stop now.
How about Mississippi?
Mississippi. You sound like one of the coolest guys. Have we never spoke before?
Not that I remember. I've been on this room like really shortly once.
We said we're talking about some pretty awesome subjects here. Yeah.
God, I am downloading. I'm using a program called Linux DL. Right?
Yeah, you said the other
YouTube,
one.
No, YouTube.dl?
YouTube-DL. And it is a terminal.
I've had trouble trying to get that installed, man. I'm just trying to learn the terminal, and for some reason I just can't get that working right. I got it working once.
Is it stable, though? Helen.
I think the only thing about it is that the YouTube changes its encryption, so it's like it constantly has to be updated, I believe.
All right, it's one of these. Yeah, stable.
Yeah, I'm linking the how-to to you right now. This is the how to install it, and it should not be a problem. Hold on. Right. I think.
We're all living in America. Okay, could you play some music, Helen?
No, I can't.
You can't do it? What about you?
No,
YouTube?
I can't. I don't know how to stream music across a. I don't listen to too much music anymore. That's how you download it, and it should, you know, just a simple apt-get, you know, sudo apt-get install YouTube-DL.
Do you guys want me to go away?
No.
Am I?
No, you're always welcome. I don't want you to go away.
All right, then. Okay. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm just in the road.
No, I just happen to hit it off with Gio because we're into the same topics. But no, I your company is always welcome.
All right. Then. Yeah. Okay. It's just because we're actually on Ab's live stream, so I guess he probably won't put any of this to air. I would imagine.
Yeah. But I got to get going anyway, guys. My wife's going to be home soon. I got to eat some lunch, and I got to go back to work.
Nuna, let me give her a big hug right now.
Yeah, I will tell her. I will tell her you said hello.
Yeah, so. She's a sweetheart, are you, Daniel.
No, thanks, dude. Gio, it's very nice meeting you. Great conversation.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna start packing things up and logging out.
Yeah,
it's getting late here.
Yeah, I'll talk to you again, Rollo, and I'll talk to you again.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a good day, guys.
They don't bump you off. If they don't bump me off and I don't drive my Porsche 911 into the into a tree.
Yeah. All right, guys. Take it easy.
Have a good night, Rollo.
Hey, dear. Yeah, before you go, you do remember that.
What? Remember what?
The old mate driving the Porsche 911 car. It wasn't a Porsche 911, was it? It was a Porsche motor that was in a car that was, it was ridiculous, and he didn't know what he was doing. Killed himself.
Oh, I won't deny that, but I think it was, I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, Ryan Dunn's death, it's devastating. You can't even tell what kind of car it was after the wreckage.
Ryan, like, do you remember in Jackass 3? When he did the strip of bacon or whatever it is. I mean, the guy was fearless, kind of.
And given the opportunities, he did things that, I think, made him money. He did well for himself. But I'm going to jet, though. And I'll be on later, and we'll continue our conversations.
Are you going to jet? Are you going to go?
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, look, okay, so it is a, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so here we are on the 20th of August, 2015, and, GEO-free, thank you for talking to me, mate.
Yep, pleasure's all mine, thank you, and, have a good night. It's, 11 o'clock where I'm at night, so, start.
Right on the hour, okay.
Yep.
Okay, see you.
Bye. Take care, man.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is Jan Erik, and I recommend the Fakeologist because that's the place to get real truth and not BS.